do our best. Remember, everyone, just don't be yourselves.
That's not brown rice.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
How come some people get cat and some people get chrysanthemum?
Say that again?
Some people get cat. I mean, if you're in a spelling bee, they say, how do you spell cat? C-A-T.
Yeah.
And, okay, the next, who wants to be next? Deuce Davis said, I want to be next. And the teacher said, okay, how do you spell chrysanthemum?
Now, that one is beyond me. I have no idea.
What? He sure is cool, isn't he?
Wrong. Try again, dumbass.
If the spirits cause you to become lost in the jungle, what should you do to find your way home? I don't know.
This is it.
This is it.
This is what we're talking about.
And now.
Let's go! Keep up that intensity! Let's go! Let's go!
Our feature presentation.
Quite a pep talk. Thank you.
Let's go, people.
Let's go!
Keep it up!
Morning, everybody. It's an all-new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Monday morning.
Yes.
Got a brand new week. I don't know if you saw this story over the weekend, but it sounds like it's straight out of the movie theater. In Utah, there was a group of football students that wanted to do a post-game celebration dance. And so they started dancing, and the police pepper sprayed them and all of their families in the crowd. I don't know if you've ever been pepper sprayed or tear gassed or something like that. But
I have not, but I know you have.
It isn't really a direct one-on-one response. Basically, anyone in the area, you know, it's
airborne.
It's airborne, yeah.
Yes.
So you can get way more people than you intended to pepper spray. That's how I got nailed at Pepper Spray the Bills when Rage Against the Machine was playing out there. But this particular group, it was almost like Footloose. Like they just wanted to do their little dance.
Right.
And the police said no. And the dance, by the way, is 10 seconds long, maybe.
What was the big deal?
Well, I don't know. Here's the thing. It's a weird dance called the Haka dance.
Mm-hmm.
And it was done by the rugby team in New Zealand, and they won the Rugby World Championship, so I guess they made it popular. But they used to do it, I think it comes from way back, kind of like a before the game, where they would kind of psych each other up, and it was more like a war cry than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became popular. Now these guys are doing it after the game. It was in Utah, but the police had no time for it. And then the girl yells out, just start doing it. What are they going to do? And that, to me, like, there's answers to that question.
There are things they can do.
What are they going to do? Well, one of the things they have batons, first of all.
Yeah.
They have guns, and they have pepper spray. So there are a lot of answers to that question, what are they going to do? So the guys started yelling and started doing the stupid little dance. And then the police said, oh, yeah, well, and then everyone started coughing and just doubling over.
So friends, family, dancers,
yeah.
Innocent bystanders.
Pretty much.
Everybody got hit.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, they'll remember that day for a long time.
That stuff moves around, and it is burns going down your throat.
How long did it last when you got sprayed?
I don't know. It lasts for, you know, it tails off. It's really like you can't breathe and your eyes are burning and your throat's on fire.
Ugh.
And then, you know, your throat's still on fire, but you can breathe a little bit. But for a while, you still feel your eyes still kind of hurt and are bloodshot. And it takes a little while to get over. I mean,
yeah.
It's not something that's very, very easy to deal with. And they brought it in like dust croppers at that concert, man. They just sprayed the whole crowd. Everybody was pushing and they were trying to break the barriers. And we weren't doing anything like this. These people were just doing their stupid little dance.
There's got to be a lawsuit, right?
I imagine.
I would think so.
That's, in this day and age, I imagine so. But first of all, they're dumbasses for doing it. I mean, let's be honest. It came from New Zealand. It has nothing to do with the football team.
But it's just a dance.
Utah. Sometimes you just got to dance.
Right. I know that.
But the police said, no dancing. And of course, it's in Utah.
It's in Utah. Did
really
we mention it's in Utah?
The most strict state when it comes to stuff like that. But they pepper sprayed the whole crowd. So that's good times right there.
All right.
Grandma choking. Sweet. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
We are going to talk about the weirdest place you went on a date. I don't know if you saw this Kirstie Alley story, but apparently one of their dates early in their courtship was they went to the grave of Jim Morrison. It was a date.
Was she dating Bean?
No.
Okay.
But someone much like Bean. I mean, I don't get this at all because I'm not into celebrity graves.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people who, you know, if it's somebody they admired a lot, Kurt Cobain, for example, his grave is, you know, people like to go there.
Well, people go see Elvis.
Yeah, exactly. But as a date, like, that's weird, right?
That's weird.
It's not really, what, you grab some food to go and go sit down and
picnic?
Yeah, pour some wine?
I'm not sure
I understand that. It seems like there's a difference between going to a gravesite and then going on a date. Nothing says romance more than,
look at this dead guy.
Hey, that guy's dead. Let's kiss. So weirdest place you went on a date today. Okay. We have Andrew Siciliano from DirecTV's Red Zone talking about the NFL over the weekend. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com telling us about all of the celebrity news over the weekend. We are going to give you some tickets for the K-Rock Dead Man's Ball today. You're going to have to earn them, but we're going to give them to you. That's this Saturday night.
Okay.
It's a costume ball, and it features the genius of Tim Burton, a live performance by She Wants Revenge.
Very cool.
That's pretty cool. We'll give you some tickets for that. We're going to tell you about the guy with 100-pound balls.
What?
There's a guy in, I believe it's Vegas, with balls that are 100 pounds. Balls, 100 pounds. And there's a news story, and the poor dude is trying to...
He wasn't born that way, right?
No. It was an injury. Well, they can't figure it out. It was an injury.
Like elephantitis to the...
Sort of, but it was caused from an injury, which never happens. I guess he just rolled over wrong and tried to stretch and put his leg on one or something. I don't know. But they literally... Don't quite, but come very close to dragging on the ground.
Whoa.
And that's, I don't think...
Do we have pictures?
Oh, yeah. We have video.
Oh, my God.
I don't think that's what you want as a guy.
No.
Speaking as a guy, I don't think you want the 100-pound ball.
But so I want to see.
We got that coming up. Well, I mean, there's no graphic pictures of it, but you don't want that. I don't know what kind of clothing he has on it. It looks maybe like it's sewn specifically for giant balls. I don't know. So we got that coming up. We have Chris Hardwick on the program today, Talking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about The Walking Dead, which is misnamed, by the way. They run. Zombies run. That's BS. So we got that coming up today as well. And how was it labeled? New York Times best-selling author. New York Times best-selling author, Snooki, on the show today.
Nuh-uh.
Yep.
Nuh-uh.
She's written her second book.
Nuh-uh.
Yep. And we're going to talk to her today. A decision which we're getting a lot of crap for, and rightfully so.
I can imagine, yes.
Yeah. Every one of you that is mocking us for that, we agree. We are down with that. You are right. We are wrong. And wow. Snooki. Anyway, that's coming up today. We will take a quick break, and we will come back with the Ralph Showbiz. Be next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 10 minutes to 6.
Oh, I'm sorry. No,
late.
This is on or not?
It's on.
Okay.
Hey!
A
little late. Coming up in the next hour, the K-Rock Dead Man's Ball. We'll give you tickets for that. Plus, we're going to talk to the guy with 100-pound balls.
So. What?
That's good. Dude, it's unbelievable. It's real, too.
You're laughing. You're laughing like a fool at this poor man who's carrying around 100 pounds between his legs.
Look,
I mean, a guy like me, I'm used to that. But this poor guy, this came out of nowhere.
They're almost dragging on the ground. It's not good. It's not what you want.
Yet you just think it's the biggest, funniest thing ever.
It, as long as it's not you, it's funny.
Oh, man. You are mean. Mr. Grinch.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
As it is Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Paranormal Activity 3, as you can imagine, as we approach the Halloween season, $54 million in its debut, made it number one at the box office.
Love it.
$54 million.
Loved it.
Did you love it?
Yep. It was more kind of in your face than the other two. The other two were really...
boring.
They were boring. There was a lot of tense, but they didn't really pay off much with the screams and the really getting scared. This one was much more that way.
All right.
And they had to up the ante.
Yeah.
Real Steel came in at number two with $11.3 million. Footloose was third. The Three Musketeers in its debut only made $8.8 million, but that was good enough to make it number four. The Ides of March was fifth. Dolphin Tale, Moneyball, Johnny English Reborn, the British spy comedy, came in at number eight. The Thing and 50-50 rounded out the top ten at the box office this weekend. John Mayer had surgery on his throat this weekend.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's bad if you're a singer, right?
Yeah.
Apparently he had an inflamed growth.
Ugh.
in his throat that was removed just above his vocal cords. John said he tried to avoid having an operation, but there was no other solution to save his voice.
Wow.
As you can imagine, he's had to cancel quite a few concerts this year due to his problems with his voice, and now the surgery, and his new album's been pushed back to 2012, but they say he should make a full recovery and be singing sappy songs that girls swoon to sometime soon. So congratulations.
That's how he gets it, man.
The dream is over for Christina Milian, literally.
What does
her
that mean?
Divorce from The Dream was finalized last Thursday. They tied the knot in 2009, and they called it quits less than a year later. So all you people who said it couldn't last, you were right. Sadly, though, they did have a daughter in that short period of time.
Wow.
Daughter Violet. So that's always bad news when kids are the collateral damage to a failed relationship.
Why don't you make sure you can go past a year before you have a kid?
Invest a little time.
Come on.
See if things work out. Kate Winslet was finally talking about the fire at Richard Branson's private island, in which she saved his mom. Remember that story?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For the first time ever, she's talking out about it. She was speaking with British talk show host Graham Norton. And she said it was a remarkable event. The situation, she said, was just like a movie.
The situation was there?
No, Gilligan! She woke up at 4:30 a.m. to hear others screaming fire, and then told her children to shut a door facing the flames in order to buy herself some time. She did help Richard's mother, Eve Branson, get out of the house by carrying her down a flight of stairs to safety. She said her first thought was to put on a bra, but then she decided against it.
What?
Her first thought was to put on a bra, but then she decided against it before taking measures to get everyone safely out of the house. Because I guess you want to put your clothes on and get out there and, you know.
I guess, but if it's on fire.
Well, you know, sometimes you fall back into your old patterns and you just, if you're going to get dressed, you start getting dressed the way you normally do every morning. You have to catch yourself and say, oh, well, this probably isn't the most important piece of clothing I put on right
now. Don't even put on a shirt.
If you can't win, if you can't Winslet, you shouldn't ever.
Right.
Just be topless. Be a topless fire rescuer.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what you should have been, Keith. Jason Statham is telling friends that he is head over heels in love with Victoria's Secret supermodel and star of Transformers films, Rosie Huntington-Whiteley.
Yeah.
Planning to propose. That's the word on the street.
What? The word is on the street before he even does it?
Well, he's telling friends that he plans, he knows he's got a good thing when he sees it, and he's going to propose to her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
Yeah, I think that's a good choice, by the way. Jason, do what you want there.
Yes.
I know I had a nightmare last night that you said we had Snooki on the show today. It was very strange. I woke up in a cold sweat this morning. But
she's got a new book.
No, that's ridiculous.
Called Confessions of a Guidette.
Well, maybe we can congratulate her because the fifth season finale of MTV's Jersey Shore pulled in 6.6 million viewers.
That's
on Thursday night.
That's crazy numbers for a network like that, right?
Yeah. It beat everything on broadcast television except for The Big Bang Theory and the World Series. But other than that, it trounced everything else on television.
That's just not good.
Now, keep in mind, those numbers aren't even as good as the third or fourth season finales, which drew 6.6 and 8.8 million viewers, respectively. But still, it's amazing numbers, and for basic cable, it's almost unheard of. So,
and fantastic, fantastic quality.
I'm going to have to buy her book now, because she knows what she's doing.
Oh, I got a copy right here. I'll give you mine.
No, I'm good. And while we're talking about the Jersey Shore, Ronnie has announced he wants to be a professional wrestler. Well, of course you do, Ronnie.
Those two seem to go hand in hand, don't they? Yeah. Jersey Shore and professional wrestling.
Well, that's what he does anyway. He might as well get paid for it. He makes himself a clown, and he's all puffed up and steroided, and he has a lot of rage and anger, so why not? He has signed up for two episodes of TNA Impact. I'm not familiar with that program. Anyone?
Mike, do you know what that is? WWE.
Is that
WWE? Yeah, and I think Snooki did that as well.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Apparently, he will be alongside wrestling legends Hulk Hogan and Kurt Angle. Those are the guys he'll be appearing with. So, I'm sure they can give him some tips on how to get into pro wrestling.
Don't you get the idea the audiences are roughly the same for those two shows?
I don't know.
You don't think so?
No, I think, well, yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Kim Kardashian has just landed a movie role. It's the end of Hollywood, as we know it.
All right.
This is a perfect S-storm right here, this film. It is Tyler Perry's next movie. Called The Marriage Counselor, and Kim Kardashian has landed a major role in the film. She'll play the best friend and co-worker to one of the central characters, who is a marriage counselor whose own relationship starts to fall apart.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, the irony.
What?
She's a marriage counselor, and yet her own marriage is in doubt.
That's bullshit.
Oh, I bet there's going to be lots of craziness that happens there. And then Medea will show up and set her straight.
Hallelujah.
Is that what she says?
That's what Medea will come in and say, yeah.
You think Kim Kardashian is just looking for some black men to have sex with?
What? She's newly married.
Yeah, I know.
To basketball legend Chris Humphries.
Right, I know.
She couldn't be happier.
Right.
He's half black. She's got to be half happy.
Sure.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. One of my favorite actors, Kevin Kline. Always good in everything he does. Doesn't work nearly enough for my taste. 64 years old today. Another very talented actor, B.D. Wong.
Hey!
Celebrates his 51st birthday. Singer Monica is 31 years old today. Drake, the rapper, turns 25 years old. And actress Shanae Grimes. Miss Grimes is 22 years old today. She was on 90210, the reboot, of course. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We have a chance for you to get tickets for the K-Rock Dead Man's Ball, which is Saturday, October 29th.
Ah, scary! They're dead!
I don't think anyone's really dead.
Oh, sorry.
This Saturday, October 29th at LACMA, Halloween Costume Ball, featuring the genius of Tim Burton and a live performance by She Wants Revenge. Your chance to win coming up in a few minutes. And Chris Hardwick, we're going to talk to today, who hosts The Talking Dead that comes on after The Walking Dead on UNC.
See what he did
there? See, because it's The Talking Dead.
I never get tired.
And Snooki.
Yeah, while we're talking about things where people change a letter or the beginning of a word for hilarious comedy effect.
Yes.
Let's say you're doing a show about The Walking Dead and you call it The Talking Dead.
Uh-huh.
You can see why hilarity ensues, right?
Yeah, but it makes sense. They're talking about The Walking Dead.
Yeah, okay. So we gave him a pass, right?
Right.
Well, this is my problem, is that this month that we're in right now.
October.
Yes.
Has been subject to much of that kind of shenanigans.
Well,
much of that kind of chicanery.
It all started with Rocktober, and people are entirely too happy that if they add an R, it makes it Rocktober.
This weekend, it's Guitar Center's Rocktober Savings Event.
So you got that. Yeah,
it happened largely with classic rock radio is how that all began. Every month around this time of year, when October showed around, everybody was like, hey, you're listening to WLPK, it's Rocktober. And they would have, you know, Rocktober concerts and Rocktober events and Rocktober.
And you would think that would get old pretty quick, but it hasn't.
No, it was a long-standing radio gag for, I don't know, it's been 30 years it's been going on now.
Right.
And so that was as bad as it got. But for some reason lately, it's just been a house on fire. It's just been out of control. It started off as Rocktober.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, you can always make the popular C-word tober joke,
sure, yeah.
which was funny. And, there's Shocktober. Sometimes if there's a radio, a TV station will have a series of horror movies with Shocktober.
Sure, there's
I mean,
that.
You get that. But at least they used to try to rhyme it.
What about this one? What about...
Welcome to Socktober.
Socktober.
What about Socktober. That? Look, I'll take Socktober.
For a knitting group.
If you want to knit, if you're Hanes and you want to sell me some crew socks, and then you want to put them on sale this month and call it Socktober, I can even bite there.
Because it rhymes.
Yes, but now everyone's getting into the business, and it's spinning wildly out of control. And
so talk to me about how important Choptober is.
Choptober.
Not really, but close,
straying,
I guess.
Straying,
but
though.
This is the slippery slope that we've begun. Once you let Choptober slide by, next thing you know...
Choptober.
I don't know, food or something.
I think they're it's a haircutting salon.
Oh,
I think
okay.
Choptober. They're for their haircutting deals. And now everybody wants to get aboard, and you can't. I'm sorry. Just because you want to get into the business in October of putting your product on sale or having some sort of event, you can't just sign on. And just start making it any-tober, for example, any-tober. The good people at Subway, and don't get me wrong, Subway is one of the finest eating establishments in these United States of America.
We get food from pretty much every morning.
Almost every breakfast we eat from Subway. I love their sandwiches. I love everything about Subway.
October's now any-tober.
No! No, it's not!
You're not even trying.
It's not any-tober. It doesn't even make any goddamn sense. Any-tober. It doesn't rhyme with October. You're just taking a word and putting tober on the end of it now.
It's Kevin and Bean-tober.
No, you can't do that!
correct.
At least it has to rhyme with rock.
Oh, hey, it's Beer-tober. Come on down and get some Bud Light on sale. You just can't add tober to whatever it is that you're doing.
October's now any-tober.
No, it's not. It's not any-tober. You're missing the point that started with Rocktober. It's October, something that rhymes with oct.
It does seem like they're not trying to rhyme anymore. It doesn't matter at all. And that's a little weird.
You have to stop it, Subway, with your Anytober. And Mini Cooper, too. I think Mini Cooper has to stop it.
Happy Motor-tober.
No! Motor-tober. That just sounds stupid. How about Movember? Just wait for the next month, and you can have Motor-vember. At least it's closer.
At least it's, yeah, it almost fits.
But Motor-tober? What?
I heard an advertisement for a car dealer. I can't remember what it was, but it was Low-tober.
Low-tober.
The prices are so low.
That you absolutely should wait for November for.
November, right.
Low-vember would absolutely give you the right to make that horrible, horrible pun. But Low-tober is unacceptable.
Happy Motor-tober.
No! No Motor-tober! No Any-tober with your five-way, $5 foot-long. And I appreciate that meal deal. Don't get me wrong. I love Subway. I just can't sit idly by while they try to make it Any-tober.
October's now Any-tober.
It's not Any-tober. Damn it, people. We're running amok. If we sit by and just do nothing, the terrorists have won.
The terrorists are behind us?
I think they are. They must be. That's
weird.
They're eating away at the core of our fabric, the very way we live our lives, with the insidious way they're brutalizing the name October now.
Yeah, no one's even trying. They're not even trying. You'd think they would sit around a conference table and try to come up with something that rhymes.
Sir, how about Anytober? No, idiot, it that doesn't even rhyme with October. We can't put that in our TV commercials.
That's as far as it goes. But no, they
October's now Anytober.
No, I can't.
What about Happy Motor-tober?
No, once again, we have to stop this.
And I don't know how, though. We try to stop things all the time, and we're unable to because we're powerless.
Well, because the Rocktober thing we were complicit with.
Well, we were jumping on board because we found it funny that anyone still finds it fascinating that it's Rocktober. But at least rock ties in with the classic rock radio stations. It makes a little sense. Okay, fine.
I'm just saying, if you know of a business that uses anything tober that doesn't rhyme with October, you have a right to go slap that owner right in the face.
I don't think that's what we're
just
saying.
Lightly. Just that an open hand. I'm not saying punch him. Just an open hand slap right across the face. And
say, shame on you.
Get a hold of yourself. And then turn around and just walk out of their establishment.
I don't think that's what we're
that's
saying.
That's exactly what we're saying.
I'm pretty sure we're not saying that.
A lot
that.
Of slapping going on.
I'm pretty
it's
sure.
It's Slaptober.
It isn't Slaptober.
It's Slaptober.
It can't be Slaptober any more than it is Motor-tober.
Slaptober. Welcome to celebrate Slaptober. By slapping these people right in the face.
Yeah, let's not do that.
All right.
That's not what we're saying. All right, if you want to go to the K-Rock Dead Man's Ball, give us a call now, 1-800-520-1067. It's this Saturday night. You're going to have to play a game, though. Famous Dead People.
Oh, not Famous Dead People.
It's not Famous Dead People.
No, it's Famous Dead. Dead will be in the answer.
Oh, okay.
And all different kinds of things. Dead, because it's our Dead Man's
because
Ball.
Because it's Dead-tober.
See, it's not Dead-tober. No, you're missing the... That's what I'm talking
all
about.
Right.
That one really needs it.
Sure does.
That's the one song I think they should go
all
back
all songs need it.
Put it in. Yeah.
But that's the one that fits best.
It's world famous K-Rock. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. We have Chris Hardwick coming up talking about The Walking Dead. He does a show on AMC called The Talking Dead that comes on after it. And we have Snooki on the program today. We've got Snooki. And we have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Right now, we're going to give away some tickets for the K-Rock Dead Man's Ball.
Famous Dead! Famous Dead! Famous Dead!
I hate that they're so short now. I want more. I don't
need less of that. You couldn't even understand what he was saying.
Famous deads outside my window. Right, famous deads behind a tree. I wish that I could answer trivia about famous deads.
Right.
And maybe I could go to the Dead Man's Ball.
No, that's the part I hate the most. I got a new song by them, by the way. Somebody tweeted me over the weekend. It's
really?
Horrible. Horrible.
Is it another Halloween song?
Oh, they need to die. No
they
it's
don't.
Just
They're
them
awesome.
Being bad.
I'm going to play it later.
It's about motorcycles, oddly enough. You don't really picture that group doing motorcycle songs.
I don't, sir.
All right. The K-Rock Dead Man's Ball is Saturday, October 29th, this Saturday at LACMA. Halloween costume ball featuring the genius of Tim Burton, a live performance by She Wants Revenge. And all of the answers, if I understand this game correctly, Ralph, have dead in them.
Yes, this is the Dead Man's Ball, so we thought it'd be appropriate to ask trivia questions about famous deads, which means the answer will have dead in it. It's just that simple. So when I ask you a question, I'll ask you a trivia question, you rack your brain and say, what dead fills in the blank most appropriately.
Now, it may sound like he's explaining that too much, but every single time we do a game like this, people will go,
we'll say famous deads, and then I'll get an answer like, I Love Lucy? And like, no, there's no dead in that title whatsoever. Right. None. So just keep in mind, when you're going to, if you have to take a guess, just think of answers with dead in it.
All right.
Famous deads!
Right. Dead.
So dead.
Dead will be in the title.
Lisa, going to do a drawing for us, please?
Am.
Dead. Yes. So one winner who gets it correctly will be pulled out of a hat and we'll give those people the ticket.
We have Kristen, who is a nursing student. Hi, Kristen.
Hello.
Oh, wow. I think you may be a famous dead. Come on, Kristen, wake up.
Are you asleep or are you at work?
She hung up. Oh, hello.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
No, I'm not. I'm at school.
You're at school. Okay.
Ah, okay.
All right. We're going to give it a shot. Here is your question, okay?
Okay.
This legendary rock band led by Jerry Garcia was formed in 1965.
The answer includes the word dead.
AC/DC?
Yes. See? Yes. This is what I'm talking about.
Yes.
This is why people say, why do you go? Why do you explain it so much? And I say, well, I'll tell you why. Because someone's going to say AC/DC.
The answer has dead in it.
I could not have made that more clear. I could not have repeated that more. Dead would be in the answer.
Is it AC/DC?
It is not AC/DC. No, it's the Grateful Dead. Grateful Dead was the name.
Oh, the Grateful Dead.
Hence famous deads. See, legendary rock band Jerry Garcia in 1965. The Grateful Dead, because dead is in the answer.
I love her so much.
You know what's not in the answer?
What?
AC/DC. There's no dead in AC/DC whatsoever.
That's true. All right, let's try Tad, who's a carpenter.
Why would she think AC/DC?
Dude,
why would that jump to her mind?
Hey, Tad.
You guys have to love your listeners. We do.
Yeah. It's a love-hate relationship,
oh,
Tad.
That was sweet. That made my day right there.
AC/DC? All right, Tad, here is your question. And keep in mind, once again, dead will be in the answer.
I'll keep that in my mind.
Now a popular TV show, this project originally began as a monthly black and white comic book created by writer Robert Kirkman.
The Walking Dead.
Yes, nicely. Sir! The Walking Dead, exactly.
All right, you hold on.
Dead right there in the answer. Famous deads.
All right, let's go to Julius. Hi, Julius.
How's it going?
Also a carpenter. What's happening? Maybe they're the only ones open up this early.
I guess so. All right, Julius, here's your question. This American punk rock band was formed in San Francisco in 1978 and had a hit in 1980 with the song Holiday in Cambodia. Famous punk band, dead is in the answer, by the way.
Dead is in the answer.
I have no idea.
Want to take a guess? Nothing? You got nothing?
Deadhead?
Oh. The Deadheads. No, good guess. Right. The Dead Kennedys. Kennedys was the name.
It was a stab. At least he took a stab that involved the word dead.
Took a shot.
Right.
No harm, no foul.
All right. Let's
dead
go,
Kennedys.
Let's go to Jacob. Hi, Jacob.
Hi.
Jacob, this hit HBO series was a Western drama featuring such characters as Wild Bill Hickok, Calamity Jane, and Wyatt Earp.
Answer includes the word dead.
Western series on HBO.
Cowboy Dead?
Look, it's a guess. At least he's trying to follow the rules.
No, Deadwood.
At least I didn't say AC/DC.
That's correct.
Good for you, Jacob.
You can hold your head high, Jacob. No, Deadwood was the answer we're looking for. Deadwood was the show on HBO.
That was sweet. Our listeners are now mocking her. Yes. Jessica is on the line. She's a customer service rep. Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
Jessica? Why are you laughing already?
Because I'm nervous.
Please say AC/DC. That's my only request of you.
Did you get any of the previous questions?
I did, yeah.
All right. Well, then there's hope. What the hell?
My bad.
Can I ask the question first?
My bad.
This British new wave band rose to fame in the 1980s with this smash hit single.
Now?
Now.
Yes.
Jessica, who recorded that song?
I'm going to go with the Deadheads because I can't think of anything else.
No, I'm sorry. Dead or Alive was the name of that band. Dead or Alive.
At least, again, followed the rules. Nice job.
Deadheads, yes.
All right.
AC/DC.
Let's go to Chris. Hi, Chris.
Morning.
Hey, Chris. Here's your question. This famous DJ, born Joel Thomas Zimmerman, is known for performing at places like Coachella in a large costume head.
Dead Mouse
5. Oh, nice. Close.
Close enough. Okay. Dead Mouse. We'll take it. That five confuses people. I know. That five's very confusing. You got it right. Hold on.
All right.
You're in the drawing. How many more people do we have to get through?
We can get however many you want.
We got two more questions.
Two more.
Do we have time?
Let's do two more. All right. Let's go to Raul.
Hey, morning, guys.
An aerospace technician.
He's a genius. This guy will get it. I guarantee you.
I'll get it.
All right. Here we go. This classic horror movie spawned two sequels and made stars of its lead actor, Bruce Campbell, and its director, Sam Raimi.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Classic horror movie.
AC/DC.
I'll give you a hint. One of the sequels was called Army of Darkness. I'll give you that much of a hint. What was the original called?
I'll give you a hint. Dead is in the title.
Yeah.
Army of Dead.
No, it's the right. Evil Dead. The Evil Dead was the name of the film. Right, sorry about that.
One more.
I bet on him. I thought he was going to get
did.
It.
Well, yeah. Smart doesn't always work.
That's true.
Charles, hi.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Charles, an engineer.
All right, Charles. This 1968 American independent black and white zombie film, directed by George Romero, is considered the granddaddy of all zombie movies.
Dawn of the Dead.
Ooh, so close.
Day of the Dead.
Oh, so close.
Night of the Dead. Night of the Living Dead.
There we go. We'll take it. We'll take it.
Really?
Well, yeah. We'll take it because we're freaking desperate.
All right. We have Charles, we have Chris, and we have Tad in the drawing.
All right.
Lisa, who's our winner?
Charles!
The last guy. Oh, man, you're lucky.
Oh, wow, you are so lucky, Charles.
Very.
You're lucky AC/DC came up because we were feeling
that's
real.
That's right. We're very generous in just letting anyone who got even remotely close into the drawing.
Congratulations. Thanks for playing the Famous Dead.
Famous Dead! Famous Dead! Famous Dead!
And I'm my dear.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:38. Coming up in about a half hour, we're going to talk The Walking Dead with Chris Hardwick, who has a show on the AMC right after that show. That show is one of my favorites now.
Oh,
it's so freaking good. And Snooki. And we have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up. First, Las Vegas man with 100-pound scrotum seeks money for surgery.
All right, I have seen the pictures now. The video.
Here's what I would suggest. You can find the video at KevinandBean.com. You can go there at KRock.com. But I would suggest that you eat first or much later because it's not an attract. It's an actual dude. It's a real life story. And the man actually has 100-pound scrotum.
I didn't really believe you at first.
Right, because it sounds like an exaggeration.
Yeah.
Then you see it and you go, oh, my God.
It really is almost to the ground, as big as his legs. And he's got to walk around him. Sort of.
Yeah. I don't know how he goes anywhere. I don't know how he sits on a bus.
Unbelievable.
The video that you'll see there shows him sitting on a bus and stuff. But
trying to get dressed.
Here's a little of the news audio.
Wesley Warren Jr.'s life has become more difficult since 2008. He has a growth weighing more than 100 pounds on his scrotum.
Now, that seems all bad, right?
When do you go to the doctor? 2 pounds?
I
think you're in by two? Because I think you'd notice 2 pounds.
Yeah, you go, wow, this is 2 pounds. And then 5, and then 10.
Right.
100 pounds.
It is a large scrotal edema, a swelling of watery fluid around his testicles.
This reporter sounds like he's got that. He sounds fat, right?
A rare condition, usually only seen in Asia and Africa.
You know, people look and they stare, and I expect that.
Warren attributes his condition to the accidental strike of his testicles by his own leg as he twisted and turned upon awakening.
That's what happened. That's originally what happened is he pinched one. And
this
then it's
unbelievable.
Overnight, he says his testicles swelled to the size of a soccer ball.
Okay, so it swelled to the size of a soccer ball.
All right.
So at
now
that
I'm
point,
in the hospital.
Yeah, you go, soccer ball between my legs. I'm going in.
Emergency room.
Uh-huh. It's treatable. The only thing is, I asked him to do the surgery, and also we referred him to UCLA to have the surgery.
Worried that treatment in southern Nevada could result in his castration, Warren has started to exhibit his condition to the public to try and find help.
Yeah, he's exhibiting it to the public, so we thought we would we'd talk to him. I find it funny that he's given up on Nevada altogether. He can't have anything done there. He must go to UCLA, and we have him on the phone now. Hey, Wesley.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, Warren. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I have 100 pounds of testicles.
Yeah. That seems bad.
What kind of question is that to ask someone?
Well, I mean...
How are you? I have 100 pounds of scrotum.
So not good.
How do you think I am?
Probably pretty poor.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
How long has this been? The story doesn't say when it was.
I guess now it's been about a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you go to the grocery store, or do you have someone go
No, because they always accuse me of smuggling watermelons.
It does look
I'm
like
I'm tired
about
of explaining
of
myself. They say, hey, you with the watermelon, stop. And I say, it's not a watermelon.
It's a scrotum.
It's a scrotum. Yeah.
That's a bummer.
That's the name of my new book. I hope you all pick it up. It's not a watermelon. It's a scrotum.
Now, according to other reports, you checked with UCLA, and they have given you a figure of...
$1 million.
$1 million for the surgery.
Yeah. The doctors in Las Vegas couldn't really help me any longer.
Why? Why can't they do that surgery?
They're dumb.
All doctors
in Vegas are dumb.
Okay.
Mostly they just do breast implants and repairs for deviated septums due to excessive cocaine.
Okay, all right. Yeah. That's their specialty. I can see that.
And so they recommended I go to a specialist at UCLA there in Los Angeles where you are.
Now, did you...
My Medicare from the state Medicare from Nevada won't cover me in California.
Wait a minute, but it will...
I have to pay cash.
It will cover you in Nevada, though?
Yes.
Roll the dice, man.
Roll the dice?
Roll the
dice. That's what got me into this problem. I rolled my dice, and now they've swelled up to 100 pounds. I'd rather keep my dice just right where they are.
Are you able...
They're saying in Nevada that the solution may be castration.
I think that's probably true anywhere.
Well, no. UCLA has an operation, they say, can reduce the swelling and remove the excess swelled tissue. Muscle from the scrotum.
They have a large scrotum specialist?
Yes. Yes, they do. He has enormous hands. But in Nevada, they would just take them. And I'd rather have them, even at 100 pounds, than not have them.
Really?
Yes.
That might be a bad choice.
You want to give up yours?
Well, I would if they were 100 pounds.
I doubt it, sir. Even if they're 100 pounds, you get attached to them. You know what I'm saying? Well, sometimes even more so when they're 100 pounds. They become like a friend.
Okay.
This is like having a Saint Bernard between your legs. This is man's best friends right here in between my legs.
Right, but you don't get any love from them.
Oh,
like you
don't
with Saint Bernard.
Oh, you have no idea.
You say I want to have real friends and a relationship with a woman.
I would, yes.
Yeah, that seems difficult till the surgery.
Let me grab this over here.
What? What was that?
What was that?
That was my scrotum knocking down one of my walls.
Oh, my God.
Hard to move around in here.
You need to be a little more careful.
I need a bigger apartment.
Oh. What was that?
Coffee table.
Oh.
I accidentally rested them on a coffee table.
Oh, you don't want to do that.
Coffee tables from IKEA aren't built for a 100-pound scrotum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. It does. Now what?
Oh, jeez.
Sorry, Mrs. Jenkins. I'm sorry.
What happened to Mrs. Jenkins?
A downstairs neighbor. I just knocked the floor out from under me.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not a watermelon. It's a scrotum. Thanks, ma'am. I appreciate it. So if you could give me $1 million.
What?
If you could give me $1 million, I would appreciate it.
I don't think I can help you like that. You all right?
Yeah.
What happened?
It was like a wrecking ball went through this place.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Just after the top of the hour, we're going to talk to Chris Hardwick about The Walking Dead. He has a special on right after The Walking Dead on AMC, where he takes calls, talks to Robert Kirkman, who, by the way, is not 80, which is what I pictured.
Why?
Probably because of every other comic book writer that I know is old.
I don't know. Of all those comic book writers you hang out with, they're all old guys?
Yeah.
I don't know. Nothing, sir. Good day, sir.
That's correct. I know nothing. I saw him. I was like, that's him?
Yeah.
That's the best.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to talk about The Walking Dead coming up just after the top of the hour. Plus, we have Snooki in the 7 o'clock hour.
No, we don't.
Best-selling...
This is a prank.
New York Times best-selling author, Snooki.
Is it Snooktober?
It is.
No, I didn't know that.
Snookytober. Right now, it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
People let me know, by the way, that Del Taco apparently is featuring Taco-tober.
Yes. Good.
This month.
Good.
And El Pollo Loco has El Pollo-tober. I am getting angrier and angrier with each of your emails. Keep it coming.
Again,
I appreciate it.
All of the food is fine. The restaurants
Nothing
are fine.
Nothing wrong with any of these establishments. But I just question their marketing staff.
Taco-tober.
Once El Pollo-tober starts throwing its hat in the ring. Infuriating. Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Paranormal Activity 3, in its debut, made $54 million this weekend. Of course, as you can imagine, with the Halloween right around the corner, horror movies are going to do well, but I don't think anybody expected $54 million
for
this
film. Yeah, that's a lot. And when I went, I don't know, it was yesterday late afternoon. There was almost no one there. What a surprise.
I guess Friday and Saturday, they did the majority of their business. Real Steel was second at the box office with $11.3 million. Then Footloose and the new Three Musketeers movie, Ides of March, was number five. Dolphin Tale, Moneyball, Johnny English Reborn, The Thing, and 50-50, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. So you went to the movies yesterday?
Yeah.
You weren't watching the football?
No. Well, I watched
Saints
some
just
it.
Scored again, I got.
Is that right?
I got a message this morning.
I've never it's seen it. Good.
They just won't stop.
Demolition like that. Indianapolis Colts.
62 or something? What was the final?
Seven.
Score? Yeah.
That's crazy.
Nuts. If you're Peyton Manning, you just turn around everybody and go,
huh? How do you like me now?
Huh? Huh? All right, what was I telling you all those years?
Have we ever seen an entire team collapse because of one guy? Most of the time, they pick up the slack and at least do all right.
Yeah. It's pretty embarrassing for those guys. Kim Kardashian's got a new movie role. Tyler Perry is directing a film called The Marriage Counselor, and he has cast Kim Kardashian in it. Do you have no respect for your own film? Really, when you're casting Kim Kardashian in a major role in your film? Are you just saying, I don't effing care about it at all? I'm just trying to get people into the theater just to sit in the seats. I'll even take her audience.
Pretty hot, I would imagine. That's his thinking.
There is no shortage of hot actresses in Hollywood,
Kevin.
I agree.
There's
a lot of hot girls that aren't Kim Kardashian.
I agree.
Who can actually act.
They don't come with that baggage.
And if I'm a writer and director, it's one thing just to be a producer and you're just going to throw anything into a film just trying to get people to show up. But if you're a writer and director, don't you have some sort of respect or concern for your own product?
And his movies do so well, he certainly doesn't need stunt casting.
Right. His audience is going to show up regardless of who he puts in that role. Why would you cast Kim Kardashian?
She's a great actress, Ralph.
She's not!
For your consideration.
She plays the best friend of the lead character. Lead character is a female marriage counselor who... her own marriage is in trouble.
What?
She gives advice to other people about how to save their marriages, and here she is cheating on her husband, and her relationship's in trouble.
I didn't see that coming.
That is magic. Kim apparently plays her best friend who gives her a makeover.
What?
Gives her
That's
a makeover.
Role?
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? You make her a nuclear physicist? What are you going to do if you got Kim Kardashian?
Yeah, true.
Give her some makeup and some hair tips. Talk about shoes. Pee-wee Herman! Pee-wee says he wants to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
Yes, I say. Every dance would be the tequila dance outside of the bar from the movie.
Yes, it would.
Tequila!
Awesome.
Would they not accept him? You'd think they would be all over that.
I don't think he even thought about it until this season. He's friends with David Arquette. So he has been in the audience a couple times and apparently has seen them filming the show. And he said he thinks it would really be fun to do. So he is putting his name out there. They should absolutely get Pee-wee on there.
Absolutely.
I would actually watch, I think, if I knew Pee-wee was going to be dancing every week.
I wouldn't, but I'd let you tell me about it.
Come on. You wouldn't watch Pee-wee dance every week on Dancing with the Stars?
I might once. I can't do that show, but I would like to see him.
Mambo!
I'm pretty good at it, too.
Jon Favreau is not just a movie star, director, and writer. He is branching out into television. CBS has just picked up a sitcom that he's created called Tweaked.
Oh,
I hope it's about meth addicts. No, apparently it's about life and dating among single parents in Santa Monica.
Tweet.
John will reportedly write and executive produce the project, and CBS says it's one of the best scripts they've seen in a while. So,
wow. He's a good writer.
He is a good writer. Him. And he's a great director and producer, so this project might actually go someplace. And last night, congratulations to our buddy Will Ferrell. He was given the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor at the Kennedy Center last night.
Wow.
Surrounded by the following comedy luminaries who stopped by to praise him and to give testimony in his honor. Conan O'Brien stopped by, gave a speech. John C. Reilly, Molly Shannon, Andy Samberg, Jack Black, Matthew Broderick, Ed Asner, and many, many others.
That's impressive.
The event was taped for broadcast next Monday night on PBS. You can check it out.
I don't get PBS.
You receive it on your television, yeah. You just don't get it.
Intellectually,
he doesn't get it. Yeah.
Antics Roadshow.
Pretty cool. Today's celebrity birthday is Kevin Klein is 64 years old. Today, B.D. Wong celebrates his 51st birthday. Monica, she's 31 years old. Actress Casey Wilson, who was on Saturday Night Live and Happy Endings, she is 31 years old. Rapper Drake is 25. And Sinead Grimes celebrates her 22nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. Snooki coming up in a half hour. Snooki's a best-selling author, don't you know?
No.
She's a New York Times best-selling author. Snooki.
I'm going to write a book. What
that's
the hell?
Happening. Our standards have dropped very low, and that's why we welcome Chris Hardwick to the show. Hey, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Right in the heels of Snooki. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Speaking of books, I would recommend yours much more than hers. What is yours?
I appreciate that. I wrote a book called The Nerdist Way. It's basically a productivity book for nerds. Nerdy-brained people have very specific ways that they process information. So I wrote a book about it.
And you understand them like no other people do.
I live it.
Yeah, you do.
Every day.
Now, tell me about The Talking Dead. This is the show that comes on after The Walking Dead on AMC.
Yeah, well, it's a post show wrap up show, sort of like what Andy Cohen does, but there are no Real Housewives, and Walking Dead is a show that people always want to talk about afterwards. I mean, I know my friends and I would always talk about it after, like, I can't believe they totally shot that guy or that thing blew up, and so we basically just built, they built a show around it, and so that's what we do. It's just for viewers and people who kind of want to process the dense amount of drama that goes on in Walking Dead.
Last week you had Patton Oswalt on as well. You have comedians, Nerdist comedians.
Yes, exactly. I mean, the rule is you have to actually care about the show if you want to come on. And, so I started reaching out to comic friends of mine. Brian Posehn was on last night.
Right.
And Robert Kirk, who created the series, was on. So,
One of the funniest things I find about your show is the in memoriam section where you, like they do at the Oscars, he's got the touching music and the people who died in the episode.
Yes, we do the zombie count in the in memoriam. I mean, zombies are people too. They're just misunderstood, and they're basically like animals. They're misunderstood.
Here's my fear about zombies. And when I was watching The Walking Dead last night, especially at the end when they were trying to get the medical supplies, those zombies are not walking. We were always told, and I based my zombie escape plan on the fact that they walk. And I thought, how hard can that be? You just jog mildly. You can outrun the whole group of them. Now they're running and they're fighting through doors. I mean, these are aggressive.
Yeah, dude, it's kind of a big debate in the zombie file community. And, when James Gunn wrote the Dawn of the Dead reboots, he had running zombies in there and people went berserk. Like, there's no such thing.
Because it's too scary.
At that point, you're like, there's no zombies either. Let's start with our.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Chris.
I know. You're right. There is an impending zombie apocalypse. I'm kidding. And of course, we want to help on Talking Dead. But Kirkman addressed this last night and he said, listen, it's not that they run, but the fresher a dead person is, the more likely they are to be able to amble at a faster clip.
They still have energy, and they can
move it. Yeah.
All of them have one broken foot. I've noticed that. It's not a good life to be a zombie.
Well, there's the thriller zombie, and then they can bust a sweet move. But honestly, like, let's say if Lance Armstrong became a zombie, he'd be able to move pretty quickly right away
on a bike.
But then over time, the rigor mortis would set in. He'd start to decay. His muscle tissue would decay. So
you can escape the old zombies, but not the new zombies. Now, speaking of the way people think about zombies, they in last week's episode were looking for this little girl, and it's a bad time to be a kid on that show, by the way.
Sophia. It is a bad time to be. Kirkland was saying last night, someone said, "How come there aren't more kids?" And he was like,
Well, to be honest, because they don't get away as well as the adults.
Yeah.
In that world.
So this little girl gets lost, and they find a zombie, and they want to figure out the zombie. I'm not trying to be too gross, but if the zombie, ate her.
Right.
And so they cut open his stomach. Now, my understanding was all they do is bite. They don't eat. Do they eat? Does their stomach?
They do. Yeah, they do. They do. If you see, when you see people get attacked, especially by a herd, they do get ripped up.
Right.
And they take chunks out of them.
That is why
it's so great to have a redneck in your party who can gut a zombie.
Like
deer. And see what's inside of them.
He's like, you ever done this before? I've done it with a lot of deer. Go ahead. It's all yours.
The grossest part of that scene was watching Andrew Lincoln's facial reactions.
Yeah.
I think the special effects guy, Greg Nicotero, really was grossing him out. So you could see that he was actually about to vomit. And the vomit face is way worse than seeing stomach of gunk.
He's fantastic, Andrew. What's his name? Andrew?
Andrew Lincoln?
Yeah. He's fantastic.
He's amazing. Everyone on the show, it's a great show, man. And it speaks volumes that the nerds have won our culture when our soap operas are about zombies or vampires or battle stars.
It's a great time to be a nerd.
It is an amazing time to be a nerd. So way better than when I was growing up.
So last night, Andrew Lincoln's kid gets shot and they're trying to fix him. They go to a farm where the guys live that shot him, and this guy's about to perform surgery. And this was maybe the best scene of last night's episode, and this is when Andrew Lincoln's wife is asking him if he knows how to perform the surgery to save the kid's life.
As soon as they get back, you can perform this surgery.
I'll certainly do my best.
Okay. You've done this procedure before.
Well, yes, in a sense.
In a sense?
Honey, we don't have the luxury of shopping for a surgeon.
No, I understand that, but, you're a doctor, right?
Yes, ma'am, of course. A vet.
A veteran? A combat medic?
A veterinarian.
Veterinarian.
Yeah.
That is not...
Come on, how different could a kid be than a pig or... other livestock.
He's going to put him under at home without the proper equipment and take out the bullets and bring him back to life. And that seems highly unlikely now that we know he's a vet.
Well, it's harder for him. Animals don't scream back at you when you're trying to pull bullet fragments out of them.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way. Well, anyway.
But let me say something about Kevin. If you get a chance, you've got to read the comic series. The Walking Dead comic series is so incredible, and it doesn't quite follow the universe is a little bit different in the series, so I just want to recommend that to you.
All right, I'll look for that. Does it have a lot of pictures?
There are a lot of pretty pictures in there.
Good.
A lot of pretty pictures, a lot of zombie pictures in there.
All right, I'll watch that. I'll read that, and then The Walking Dead is on Sunday nights on AMC, and it's fantastic. That is such a great series, and you do The Talking Dead every night afterwards?
Yeah, we do. Our show comes on after the encore presentation of Walking Dead. So it's two episodes, the same episode, and then we do our show.
And your book is going to come out November 1st, which I think is a week from tomorrow?
Yes, sir, it is.
The Nerdist Way, How to Reach the Next Level. Chris explains to you nerds how to get through life.
Excellent.
Yes. Chris, you're the man. Thank you very much for coming on the program today.
Thanks, Kev. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it as well. We're going to check in with TMZ.com, find out what all the celebrities are doing next hour, plus the weirdest places that you went on a date. And we've got Andrew Siciliano from the DirecTV Red Zone channel to come in and talk about football and the Indianapolis Colts and how great they're doing this year, which is really, really good. First, though, let's talk about TV. Let's talk about Donald Trump and Celebrity Apprentice. Lisa, I don't know. You were on vacation. Did you see the list of celebrities?
I heard a partial list before I left. I don't know the whole list.
We have Mr. Donald Trump on the phone with us. Hi, Donald.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
Thank you. Greatest theme song for any television show that's ever been played on your program right now is happening behind me while I speak.
Okay. All right. You like everything about you, don't you?
It's not that I like myself so much. I just happen to be the best at everything that I do.
I see.
I'm the best at making a deal. I'm the best at amassing wealth. I'm the greatest television host of a reality show based upon me ever.
Right. Okay. That's a pretty small category, but
yes.
Let's talk about the rumors from some of the celebrities that are going to be on your show this year.
I can confirm that these are rumors.
Okay. So you can't even tell us if it's true or not?
I could, but I won't.
All right. Teresa Giudice.
Teresa Giudice.
Yes, Giudice.
Yes.
Real Housewives.
She is the inventor of the dice that they throw at Hanukkah.
I don't think they throw dice.
That shows you what you're going to get as a gift.
I don't think they throw dice at Hanukkah.
They do. They throw the Giudice.
Okay. Debbie Gibson?
Yes, she, of course, invented the Gibson guitar.
That's not true.
She was
a singer in the 80s,
She played for the Dodgers.
Nope.
She hit that home run.
That's
the bad leg.
Nope. That's Kirk. That's not the same person.
I should learn more about these people before they're on my program.
Super hot Lisa Lampanelli.
Yes, of course, invented the lamp.
No.
That's where it comes from.
Victoria Gotti, mob princess.
Yes.
You're going to fire her if it comes down to that?
She is actually a princess of Mobland. I'm not familiar with the country, but they tell me it's not very large. Italian people live there.
Have you heard of John? You've had to have heard of John Gotti. You're from New York.
Yes, John Gotti. He made, I want to say, pizzas.
Okay. Tia Carrere, actress.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Quite some time ago, I think.
She was in Wayne's World.
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, I know one.
Hey, you got one.
Hey, I know one.
You got Tia Carrere.
No need to brief me on Tia Carrere. I'm letting my staff know.
Aubrey O'Day.
Leprechaun.
Pretty hot.
Irish.
Okay. Cheryl Teagues, former model.
Yes.
Diana Mendoza,
Miss Universe. Oh. Brought to you by Trump Productions. Every year, tune in.
Right. So this is just basically a plug for your show?
No, she's a beautiful, talented woman who deserves to be the apprentice and will become the apprentice. Oops. Spoiler.
Patricia Velasquez is a model. Velasquez is a model as well.
She is very much a model.
All right, let's talk about...
She has been known to put things on and have people take photographs of her.
That's what models do, yes.
Yes.
Let's talk about the men.
Let's talk about men.
Clay Aiken.
I thought you wanted to talk about men.
It's going to be on Celebrity Apprentice. Now, he's the one that stands out to us as perhaps being weak and is going to get sacrificed early.
He is frail.
Yeah, right, that's my take on it.
He is a frail young lady who really does not have a lot of strength. Well, frankly, because he's made of clay.
Okay,
let's face it.
I don't think that's true. It's just his name. Lou Ferrigno.
The Hulk.
The Hulk.
Yes, the first time we've had a green participant on the show.
He's not actually green.
I've
seen just TV special effects.
I've seen pictures.
All right.
And he is
special
green.
Effects. Okay.
Who are you going to believe, me or you?
That's a tough
right.
call.
Exactly.
That's a tough call.
You're both unreliable.
Arsenio Hall.
Invented the hallway.
Didn't?
Yeah.
He was a TV host in the early 90s, I think.
Yes. And one of my favorite spices. I put Arsenio in a little spaghetti sauce every time I make it. It makes it delicious.
George Takei.
Gay.
Yes.
Also Star Trek.
Yes.
Why are you laughing over there?
Both are true. Why is
one of my staff members is laughing.
Who's there with you?
Omar North Tower.
Okay. Dee Snider.
Yes, she is lovely.
It's
and I
a he.
Think, what?
Yeah, it's, a,
it's a guy. He's the lead singer of a band.
Why is his name D?
I don't know.
Usually that's short for Dolores.
Penn Jillette is going to be on the show.
Invented the pen?
Nope. He's a magician.
Invented the razor?
Nope.
Gillette?
Nope. Marco Andretti's on the show.
He's yes.
A professional car driver.
You say so? Never heard of him.
And Paul Tutal from American Chopper. And some guy named Adam Carolla.
Adam who?
Have you ever heard of Adam
really?
Carolla?
Adam Carolla.
Yes, he's got a radio show, a podcast.
I know the Toyota Corolla.
Nope, different.
Any relation?
I don't think
so. Is he related to a car?
He's not related to a car, although he does a car show on the Speed Network.
That's where my confusion lies.
You might need to get some updates on some of these people before this show actually
airs. They're going to have to brief me.
Okay. All right. When does it start? Do you have any idea?
Absolutely.
Okay. When does it start?
Tell us.
2012. 12, I want to say.
You don't have any idea, do you?
Sometime in the next year or so.
Wow.
Then all of these people will be on there with their inventions and see if they can get me to invest in them.
That's a different show altogether. All right, I'm going to let you go do some research, and I'm going to go do some research, and I'm hanging up on you so that we can talk to Snooki.
Greatest guest you've ever hung up for Snooki ever in the history of your show.
Okay. Good. Andrew Siciliano is coming up. Whatever his name is.
Who is?
Talking football. Andrew Siciliano.
Ah, I know him.
But first... We have Snooki.
We do have Snooki.
Hey, Snooki.
Hello.
You have a second book coming out. You wrote a book, and now you've written another book.
Yeah.
What's the new book, Snook?
Well, the first book was a novel, so this book is kind of like a how-to. How to be like me, my favorite things, and kind of stuff that people don't know about me.
Like what? What's the biggest thing people don't know about you?
Probably that I'm a sci-fi nerd.
You're a sci-fi nerd?
Yeah. Yeah, my favorite show growing up is Roswell, so that's when I got into, you know, the sci-fi and, like, alien stuff like that. So I love alien movies, and I love X-Men.
By Aryan movies, do you mean movies about Nazis?
About what?
What do you mean by Aryan movies?
You know, like Roswell, if you ever heard of it, it was a series.
You mean alien movies?
And, you know, it was just aliens and human bodies.
Oh, I thought you were saying Aryan, but you're saying aliens. Okay. Yeah, that's a great series. Do you follow any other sci-fi stuff? Are you like Star Trek or Star Wars or any of that kind of stuff?
No, not that stuff, but definitely, you know, other sci-fi stuff.
So this book is a guide to what interests you and a style guide and how to dress like you and look like you and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, because I always get my fans asking where I get my clothes or how do I do my makeup, where I get my makeup. So, you know, everything that they've always wanted to know is in the book.
All right. Now, part of the book, you mentioned your parents, and I guess I've never thought of this before, but you have parents. What? How are they responding to all of this?
My dad and my mom are actually my number one fans. They actually have an office. You know, they work for me, and they just help me and make sure everything's going okay. And the whole office is just me and everything that I've done so far. So they're really proud of me.
Is it ever embarrassing at all when sometimes if they're watching the show, some of the stuff that that you do, particularly maybe after you've had one cocktail too many?
I mean, yeah, the first season, but now it's like the fourth, so I'm so used to it. It's just like whatever.
But all parents know that kids have dumb moments. Let's be honest. Everybody has dumb moments. But yours are pretty public now. I mean, you remember when you got to Italy, you guys thought that every single church was the Vatican? That was awesome. Remember this from this past week's episode when you asked this about Cupid?
Cupid, the son of Venus? Who will throw the arrow of love?
So they're real?
What do you mean they're real?
The babies with wings?
They are the characters of mythology.
That's cool.
Yeah. Characters of mythology.
So you didn't really think there were babies that had wings that were real, right, though?
I mean, you never know. I mean, when...
Well, you do. You do know. You know there's no babies with wings flying around.
Shooting arrows.
I don't know.
You don't know.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Here's another quote from the book, and I've seen it other places. I hate the ocean. It's all whale sperm. Everybody Google it, because that's why the water is salty.
Yeah. I actually Googled it because I wanted to know, because I really don't like the water that much. Especially, you know, when you're getting, like, taken under the waves, and, you know, you taste all that salt.
Right.
What is that exactly? And I Googled it, and it said it was whale sperm.
That was the first. I Googled it too. That was the first entry was the whale sperm answer, and then below that was all of the ones saying that it was an urban myth and it's not just salty because of whale sperm.
Yeah, but I think it's funny, so I just believe it's whale sperm.
All right. So you're aware that that's not true, but you find it funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
How much of that stuff do you do on the show that you don't really think, like you just are trying to stir it up, kind of?
No, I mean, everything on the show is real, so what comes out of my mouth is real. You know, just sometimes I forget to think, but when I do think, I'm like, okay, well, maybe that didn't make sense.
While we're talking about real, how are things going with Gianni? We watched the Italy season, and things were looking rough there. I was just wondering, can you give us an update, or do we have to wait for the next season?
Oh, me and Gianni are good. You know, we're still together. We're pretty much with each other every day, so, you know, we're just working on things.
So he forgave you for the whole Vinny mistake?
Yeah, he did. He gave me a second chance, so...
What a guy.
Good.
Well, good for him.
A couple of highlights from the season, you running into a police car. Really, that was just... that was great. You couldn't have planned that better.
Oh, trust me, I didn't plan it. It would have been somebody else, but of course that happened to me.
I mean, what are the chances that you would run into a car, let alone a police car?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just have the worst luck. And the whole time, the brakes were acting funny. So even before we crashed, I was like, you know, these brakes aren't working. But, you know, there was no stop traffic. So, of course, right when it stops traffic and I'm, you know, going pretty fast, the brakes just give out.
That was sweet. And one of the other highlights was the situation running into the wall. That's still one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Did he, what was his thinking during that? He just didn't want to get beat up?
I don't know. I just, you know, think he was trying to be a tough guy and maybe hit the wall to show how strong he was, but instead it just knocked him out.
Wow, that's spectacular. And this last episode, he spent the entire episode begging you guys to beg him to stay. Seriously, I'm not coming back. Somebody better talk me into it. No one did. And then he just changed his mind and said he's coming back.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We all have our breaking points.
Hold on. Same to you.
We all have breaking points to where, you know, we just don't want to, we just can't deal with the cameras anymore and our faces and stuff like that. So I think that was his breaking point. But then he realized, you know, this is a great opportunity. And he was like, okay, I'm coming.
Yeah. Are you guys currently filming season 5 or is it already done? Or
We actually, right after Italy, we went straight to decide to film. So we wrapped in August.
Oh.
That should be airing in January.
Back in January.
So you're saying you get tired of the cameras and you left Italy and went right back into being filmed.
Yeah, I mean, we get a break. We get like a week break, you know, just chilling out. But, you know, it's what we signed up for, so.
Do you talk to any of those people outside of shooting the TV season now?
What happened?
Do you talk to any of the cast members, you know, apart from shooting, now that you've done 5 seasons with them? Does it kind of get old, or do you talk to them? You're good friends with them? What?
I mean, obviously we get tired of each other. I mean, we were filming for legit 5 months this summer, so we, like, couldn't get away. We couldn't wait to get away from each other. But, you know, we definitely miss each other at times. We're like, oh, you know, I wish we were filming. I wish I had my roommates there. So, you know, we hit each other up once in a while, but, you know, we're all pretty busy, so.
You are busy. You do a lot of the personal appearances, I know, and now you have the books and you're doing press and that kind of stuff. What's the long-range plan, Snooki? Do you have any ideas for what happens when the show goes away and when it's all over? What's going to be the next step for you?
Well, I'm definitely trying to brand myself right now. I have a lot of products coming out, and you know, I just would love to, you know, just have my own line of stuff. I mean, that, you know, that's kind of like my goal right now. But, you know, I'll have a couple of spinoffs, I feel.
A couple of spinoffs?
Yeah, I mean, me and Jenny are shooting one in January, and then, you know, hopefully when I get married and I have, you know, a couple kids, maybe I can have, you know, a spinoff with that. I think that would be fun.
We'll watch your entire life on television.
Yeah, that would be so fun.
Two girls, one Snooki. Yeah.
All right, Snooki, the new book comes out when? Tomorrow?
Yes.
Confessions of a Guidette. She gives you all kinds of style advice, and she has a Snictionary, I believe is what it's called, which is a collection of Snooki's favorite words.
How to be like Snooki.
How to be like Snooki. If you've always wanted to be like Snooki, this is the book for you.
Sure. Yep.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye.
Yeah. The ocean's not whale sperm.
Let's not do that again. Next time we get pitched,
to say no?
Just say no.
Just say no.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Let's hear for a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, it's Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. And it was expected that Paranormal Activity 3 would more than likely take the number one slot this weekend because Halloween is upon us and people are looking for a scary movie. Although I don't think anyone expected $54 million worth of business that made it number one this weekend. In its debut, Real Steel was number 2 with $11.3 million. That's a considerable drop-off from 1 to number 2. Footloose was 3rd with $10.9 million. Then The Three Musketeers, which is a movie I was really looking forward to, but I did not get a chance to see this weekend. $8.8 million in its debut. Did not do well.
Yeah, much slower than I would have expected that one.
And Mila Jovovich is furious with Summit Entertainment, who released the film.
Why?
Saying that she thinks they under-promoted it.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Mm. So she's been tweeting furiously about the...
You're going to make her mad.
No, you would not, because she could kill zombies and you at the same time.
It's true.
All right, so March was 5th, Dolphin Tale was 6th, Moneyball, Johnny English Reborn, The Thing, and 50-50 round out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Kate Winslet was talking about her saving Richard Branson's mom's life in his private island when that fire broke out. She was talking to Graham Norton, who was a British TV talk show host. By the way, if you ever get a chance to turn over to the BBC America, they show the Graham Norton show over there. It's a really entertaining talk show. One of the best. He is a very, very funny guy. And it's a very interesting format because he brings all of the guests out at once. And they all sit on the couch. It manages remarkably to interview them all and have them talk to each other. It's like a really cool cocktail party. Hmm. He's very entertaining, and it's a good show. So she was recently on that show talking about the situation for the first time. No, not the situation from the Jersey Shore, Kevin. Said she woke up at 4:30 in the morning hearing others scream fire. And she said her first thought was to put on her bra, but she decided against it. I guess she knew she had to get dressed and get out of the building, and I guess she thought she was going to put a bra on because, you know, she's got those big cans.
She does.
Right?
You don't want them catching fire.
That's so hot.
Fireproof bra.
Yeah.
Decided against it, just threw on a shirt, and then picked up Richard's mom, Eve Branson, and carried her down a flight of stairs. The stories are true.
That's crazy. I'd want to be rescued by her. That'd be great with no bra.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Then I'd like to nurse on her afterwards.
Oh,
mommy. Mommy.
That's so hot.
Yeah, it's so hot. Fifth season. We forgot to congratulate Snooki, by the way,
yeah,
on the fifth season finale of the Jersey Shore.
Let's get her back on
the
show.
Fourth season, I guess it is. Yeah, getting a lot of love for the Snooki interview. A lot of people are very,
I thought she'd
very
at
much
least
behind
be
our choice to talk to Snooki.
I thought she'd at least have a decent sense of humor or...
Well, she's such a wild girl on the TV show, I figured we'd have some fun with her, you
yeah,
know?
Nope.
She was a dead fish right there.
Super boring.
Yeah. The season finale for Jersey Shore pulled in 6.6 million viewers. Whew. That's a lot.
Shut up, Snooki.
Beat everything else on television except for Big Bang Theory and the World Series on Fox. Indeed. And this is fascinating. While we're talking about basic cable shows, South Park, of course, great show.
Awesome.
One of our favorites. A former executive with Scientology, now turned critic of the organization, has released information saying that Matt Stone and Trey Parker were targeted by the Church of Scientology after they did their Tom Cruise episode.
Is that right?
That is not surprising, is it?
Because he was suing everybody for saying, for rumors that he was gay, so they just had him go into an actual physical closet.
Right.
It never talked about him being gay, but he just talked about how he was not going to come out of the
closet.
He won't
come out of the closet, but that's how they kind of got around
it. And also, Stan on the show took a personality test, remember?
Right.
He encountered Scientologists on the street, and they took some shots, as they do. That's what they do. They parody everybody, you know? But the Scientologists took it personally, Tom Cruise apparently specifically, so much so that Tom Cruise reportedly threatened to pull his participation in the press junkets for Mission Impossible 3 unless Viacom, which owns both Comedy Central and Paramount, pulled that episode and did not rerun it, and it has not rerun since.
Is that right?
Just for your information.
Dad! Tom Cruise won't come out of the closet!
But
Mr. Cruise? Mr. Cruise, come out of the closet!
I'm never coming out!
Mr. Cruise, you can't just stay in the closet, all right? You need to come out.
Just leave me alone!
Well, we can't leave you alone because you won't come out of the closet.
Guy's name is Marty Rathburn. He's the guy who was a former Scientology executive who revealed to the Village Voice newspaper in New York a number of documents that detailed how Scientology went upon a detailed surveillance of Matt and Trey.
Yeah.
Through the help of informants, public records, and various other means, the article reads, they searched for vulnerabilities in the pair's personal lives.
But
exploring their personal and business connections?
They're not running for office or anything that where that could hurt them, are they?
Going through phone records, bank records, personal letters that could expose some kind of vulnerability.
Oh, my God.
They go through your trash to read into what kind of alcohol you drink and how much. Prescription pills. Looking for pill bottles. They figure out your diet. They can learn a lot about you by going through your trash. And apparently they went through Matt and Trey's trash looking for vulnerabilities. Well, it's not about running for office or anything, Kevin. What they want to do is find some sort of dirt on you and then blackmail you with it to
shut you down.
Shut you down. So this way you can't take any swipes at the church because you have been targeted and they will threaten to release information about you.
Most religions can live a South Park making fun of them.
Scary stuff, man. Scary stuff. Today's celebrity birthdays are as follows. Kevin Kline. 64 years old today. Just the other day, I caught a fish called Wanda. You ever see that movie, Fish Called Wanda?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Jamie Lee Curtis, John Cleese, Kevin Kline. Boy, is that a funny film. Still holds up. He's 64 years old. B.D. Wong, very talented actor. He is 51. Monica celebrates her 31st birthday. Casey Wilson from Happy Endings and Saturday Night Live, 31 years old as well. Drake is 25. And Sinead Grimes celebrates her 22nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Speaking of celebrities, Kirstie Alley. Apparently, took a date, and they went to Jim Morrison's grave when they were in, where was it, Paris?
Yeah. She's got a new boyfriend, and for one of their first dates, they're in Paris, which just compounds the story, in my opinion, because you're in Paris, which is known as one of the most romantic cities in the world. And if this is a new relationship, and you're just starting to date, and this is one of your first dates, of all the places you could go to in Paris, to go to a cemetery seems like a poor choice.
Well, it seems like it's not romantic. I mean, maybe
it's not at all. It's not sexy.
Maybe you're interested. You love him. Whatever. You want to see it, but it's not a date spot. I wouldn't think.
No, for one of your first dates to go to a cemetery. I don't care if it's famous people or regular people. They're dead people. You're going to a place where dead people are buried, and that's where you're going to spend your date with dead people. It seems counterproductive. It doesn't seem romantic. It doesn't seem... You're in the City of Lights. You can go to the top of the Eiffel Tower, or you can go to a cafe at the Champs de Gifts.
Maybe this really turned her on, though, Ralph. Maybe this is what did the trick.
She likes corpses. but it just started us thinking about there must be a ton of bad early dates, maybe first dates, where people were taking to bad locations.
Well, I think what you try to do is make it stand out. You really want it to be something special. Right. So you don't want to do the dinner.
Or you don't think hard enough and try to make it something special, and you just make it average.
Maybe. So you went on a first date, and it was terrible. And in part because of the decision of where to go.
If you were taken someplace horrible on a first date, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call in. If you've got a bad first date story where your date just took you to someplace that was just awful and really inappropriate and made you think, what the hell was this person thinking?
And do I have enough money to get a cab?
Right.
Yeah, that's the most important question is, can I get out of here? How do I rescue myself?
I was in college and there was this girl I had a crush on for some time. I did not know her very well, but I found her very attractive from a distance, and we finally had a chance to talk, and I said, would you like to go out sometime? She said, yeah. What do you want to do? And I said, whatever you want. I was a little overeager.
Uh-oh.
And I said, whatever you want to do, you let me know, and I'll make it happen, and we'll get together and do it. And so she said, great. Now, this was an Italian girl. She lived in South Philadelphia, where the Italian community is largely in Philadelphia. And I did not expect the answer, but I got jammed. I got stuck by what she responded with me. The next night she called me. She said, the good news is I found out there are still tickets available for the opera.
Okay.
This weekend. That's what I'd really like to do.
Okay.
So I took her to the opera. And I consider myself a pretty open guy. I know I like live theater. I've listened to all different kinds of music. But opera is something I just do not get.
Opera blows.
It's rough.
And it's long.
It was like a three-hour opera.
And but at least it's in English.
And it was in Italian. And I was just glassy-eyed. And she was sitting there really enjoying it. I guess she grew up around it or something.
Yeah.
So I was happy to take her someplace that she enjoyed. But I was like, this is awful. And by the time it was over, I was just drained. I was just like, all right, see
take
you later. It was over. It was the end of the date. And we never went on a second one because I had such a bad taste in my mouth from that whole experience.
Yeah, that seems terrible.
First date opera is a bad choice for a first date, and bad on her for deciding it.
Yeah.
Bad on me for giving her the option. I should have come up with something and just taken her someplace that I wanted to go. But when I gave her carte blanche just to pick any place she wanted to go, she picked the opera.
Right, but if you're going to pick the opera, you have to at least be aware enough that maybe the other person's not into it, so run it by them.
Yeah, hey, start the conversation with, do you like the opera at all? Not, oh, good news, I found out the opera's in town and there are tickets available.
Buy
I think
them,
she just played me. Yeah, she just played me for free opera tickets is what happened.
So you just bought the tickets and then she went and she was fine.
We went and she loved it and I did not. And I was like, oh
man, I'm 30 minutes into that. I'm like, I'll be right back. I have to go to the bathroom.
3 hours of opera in a foreign language.
She wouldn't have missed you, man. She wasn't there for you.
No, she was not there for me, obviously. But she got free opera tickets.
All right, so you had to go to the opera. You had to get taken to a cemetery. Whatever your bad first date stories are, 1-800-520-1067. Everybody that's on hold on and we'll get to you in just a second. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We have TMZ.com coming up in a few minutes talking about all the celebrity news over the weekend. How is NBC getting an interview with Casey Anthony without paying her?
Yeah.
Oh, but they're sort of paying her. But
sort of.
How'd they get around that?
Yeah.
Paying her in babies, which I think is bad. It's a bad idea.
I don't think that's true.
Shouldn't want to give babies to her.
Also got to talk about Zooey Deschanel making the right call and leaving the World Series last
Boring!
Night. But first, we're talking about bad first dates. We were talking about Kirstie Alley, and she has a new boyfriend. They were in Paris, of all places. And they went
of
to
all
the
options.
They went to the cemetery.
The cemetery
to see Jim Morrison's grave. Now I understand there are people who love that or pay respects that way, or that person was an important influence.
After
in your
you've
life.
Been dating for 3 years and you've done a ton of other things,
I agree.
When you're in Paris, say, hey, you know what? We should go check out Jim Morrison's grave because we're big Doors fans.
Yeah, you don't even say that. You go, hey, would you be at all interested in? Yeah, like you don't really want to assume someone's into going to a grave.
Yeah,
that's weird.
So we're asking you where your bad dates led you. Some great responses from our Facebook page, by the way. Liz writes, guy took her, no joke, first date, Museum of Tolerance.
Oh, man.
There's nothing like the Holocaust to get you in the mood for some loving.
Oh, my God.
Look, that place needs to exist and all that, but not for a first date.
I figured that most of the responses would be from women because those are the ones who usually get asked out and taken to the first dates horrible places. Tammy, also from Facebook, writes, a self-serve cafeteria. Had to pay for my own food, and then the fat F reached over onto my plate and stole some of it.
Wow.
And then Omar writes, we attended a funeral for our first date.
A funeral?
Who needs a date for a funeral? I can see a wedding, but you don't need to have a date for a funeral.
That's so much worse than the cemetery, even.
It's freshly dead.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's horrible.
All right, let's talk to Melissa. We have plenty of calls. Almost all of them women.
Yeah.
Melissa, hi.
Hi.
Where'd you get taken for a first date?
A parking lot.
A parking lot.
Did he just want to make out?
How does that even make a date?
Yeah, under what circumstances?
Well, we just said, he'll just come pick me up at 7. We'll figure out something to do. Right. And he took me to this parking lot because he was still full from dinner, and he didn't like coffee, and he didn't like drinking, so he didn't want to go to a bar or coffee shop. So we just sat in the car, and he just wanted to talk.
Oh, man.
Wow. How long did that last?
About 10 minutes in the conversation, he told me he tried to kill himself.
Wow!
Yes.
Who knew the parking lot story could get so much worse?
He felt like he could open up to me, he said. So he told me how he tried to kill himself. And at that time, I started furiously texting my sister going, call me and tell me that there's an emergency and I have to leave.
Oh, my God. I think I would have just opened the door and ran.
Yeah, but you're in a parking lot.
Don't care.
He can mow you down.
You know where you don't want to be? In that car with that guy. Wow.
Yeah. Wow, that's a great story, Melissa.
Horrible decision. Thank you, Melissa.
I can open up with you. Hey, you know what? Close up a little bit, actually.
We're not at the opening up stage
don't
yet.
Don't be so open.
Let's go to Kristen, who has a great first date story. Hi, Kristen.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Hi there.
Hello.
First date.
Hello.
How good was it?
It was interesting. He took me to a burger joint, which was okay. And then we went back to his place, and he said that he had rented a movie that had just won a award at the Cannes Film Festival.
Oh, mm-hmm. Fantastic.
And it was a porn.
Porn.
A porn.
So fast food and then porn.
Yeah.
Did he ask you if you're into porn? Did he?
No. Just... No, he lied.
It was an award-winning movie.
He lied.
Yeah. It wasn't. He lied. He said it was a beautiful romance, and it was shot at a
awesome.
Beautiful location.
That guy's kind
and
of...
And then they got naked.
Was he doing it to be funny?
I don't think so, because he was stone-faced watching the movie. And
that's
and
not the only part of him that was stone.
So creepy, Kristen.
Do you remember the name of the movie?
I don't.
Did you watch the entire thing?
No, I got up and left.
You proved.
Hey, why don't you loosen up some?
You don't appreciate fine filmmaking from the Cannes Film Festival.
Birthday?
Yes.
Burger and fries? No.
This is a very special film. It's got the Palme d'Or at Cannes. It's called Butt Bangers 3. I hope you'll enjoy
it. Well, at least for a guy, thank you, Kristen, for the call. At least for a guy like that, you know what you're getting after the first date.
Yeah,
like,
that's
it's not
true.
False advertising.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Savan. Is this the Savan that worked here?
I don't know.
Savan?
Hello.
Hi.
Did you were you ever our intern, Savan?
No.
Oh, we had an intern named Savan, too.
No, okay.
All right. Okay. Tell us about your bad first date.
Okay, so I met this really great guy, very good looking. He told me that he was in a heavy metal band, and he wanted to take me to see him play.
Awesome.
So he took me to his band's practice.
Oh, no.
For our first date.
And did they just keep practicing? You just had to sit there?
Yeah, I got to sit there while the band rehearsed.
Oh, wow.
Dear God.
It's one thing to invite you to a gig.
Right.
But just rehearsal, and all of a sudden you're like the groupie.
Yeah.
That
but
sucks.
He did play to me the whole time, so that was cool. But...
Uh-uh. It wasn't. Because you didn't have a second date with him, did you?
Heavy metal garage band playing at you.
Actually, we did, and we ended up getting married.
What?
And we're still married today. He's a great guy.
Oh, no, he's horrible. He's horrible, and you got suckered in.
Do you give him a hard time about that choice? About that choice?
I do give him a hard time.
Good. He deserves it.
Wow.
Is he still in the band?
No.
No. You broke him up like Yoko, didn't you?
Yeah, she got married between
you. You Yoko'd that band.
Thank you, Savan, for the call. Let's go to Tony, a guy. Hey, Tony.
Hey, what's up, Kevin Bean? Love you guys.
Thank you very much. You did what on your first date?
Surprisingly enough, a morgue.
A morgue?
What a death in this. Who would have thought there would be so much death in this subject?
Why did you go to a morgue?
Well, it was a blind date, and I was set up with this girl, and she ended up getting a call when we were on our way to the restaurant to go back and do some paperwork or something at her job, and she worked at the morgue.
Oh, I see. So she had to go. And how long did you stay at the morgue?
About 2 hours, but I got a guided tour of the place.
Okay.
Hey, that's great.
Oh, and let me tell you, it's absolutely disgusting. It's everything you think it's. If you've
oh,
ever
really?
Heard.
You think the
really?
Morgue?
It's bad?
Not a good time?
You didn't have fun on your tour?
Oh, we did afterwards, but.
All right.
Yeah, did it on the autopsy table.
Did you marry her?
No.
No. Okay, no. Just checking. Thank you, Tony. And let's take one more. I think this is maybe the best. Sarah, hi.
How's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
Bad first date locations.
A strip club.
Yeah!
Strip club!
No.
What kind of guy has the balls to even try that?
It was a blind date set up by my mother.
Oh, what? No!
Yep, and apparently he was a religious studies major, and on paper he looked great, but his friend was bartending at the strip club, and we went to go get free drinks.
Free drinks at a strip club.
What a gentleman.
Did he buy you dances?
I got no lap dances.
No.
What?
Yeah.
That's a tragedy.
You should have left.
I was a good sport. I stayed for 45 minutes before I lied and said I had to go to the bathroom.
I got to go to the bathroom. That's the get out of everything.
You should have left with one of the strippers. That would have taught him.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. If you know our producer, Alex.
You have her phone number?
Or her body?
If you have her body,
you can find
let us know.
You know, it's 20 to 9, and she's supposed to be back from vacation today,
yeah.
And that's not happening,
right.
Nor is there a phone call. So she's either dead.
She's not picking up her phone.
Or dead.
Right.
So if you know her, maybe you want to run by the house.
I'll tell you, right now, best case scenario for her is she's dead. If she's not, she's just blowing off her first day back after vacation. There's going to be hell to
pay. All right. Let's take a break and go to TMZ.com. We have Mike. I'm sorry, Mike. I forgot your last name.
Walters.
Thank you.
Jeez.
Thank you, Lisa.
Sorry, Mike. Sorry about that.
Not you guys.
Kevin doesn't remember my last name either, so it all.
It's Monday.
Don't take it personally.
It is. It's,
someone partied
it's,
over the weekend, didn't they?
It's every day for me, Mike. I apologize.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's talk about some of the stories that you got on TMZ.com. The top one that you have right now is how NBC kind of got around paying Casey Anthony, who's the woman that was accused of killing her child. They're paying for the interview, but they're sort of not paying for the interview.
Yeah, this story's great. I mean, right now, all the networks who it was normal practice for everybody to, you know, pay a licensing fee for photos or video and then get the big interview they want. And that was the way around paying for an interview. Well, the problem is they've all come out with these statements saying, we will not pay for interviews or license any video or photos. We're not going to – that practice is now over. We're not going to do it. Well,
it's for their journalistic integrity, right?
Right, sure. For the integrity of it. Well, here's the problem. It's the same thing, guys, when you go around in New York and try to get a book deal for Casey Anthony so that the publishing house will pay her, and then you get the interview and you promote the book. It's the same thing,
Wait,
guys.
So NBC got her a book deal, sort of?
NBC, a producer for NBC, has been taking meetings in New York to try to get Casey Anthony a really lucrative book deal. And the point of it is that if he can pull it off, then he can promote the book and get the hour special on NBC with the big Casey Anthony interview.
I see. It's all wrapped up with a bow.
Angle. Yeah. That's the angle.
I got you. So,
is her team shopping that around? Like, whoever lands her the best deal will get the interview? Is that how it's going
to
work?
Well, according to her lawyer, you know, she's not ready and she's not going to take any money, but the word on the street is that she's waiting for the best deal.
And if it's
book money or it's interview money, I don't think she cares.
It's so funny that she's saying she's not ready and she's not going to do it, and they're saying they're not going to pay for it, and it's just all lies.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, that's the whole point of the story is that they're, you know, this is what they're all doing now, and we found out about it.
Let's talk about Zooey Deschanel. You have a funny story on your site about she did the national anthem at the World Series, Cardinals-Rangers.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I had a problem with this morning. We had a little bit of an argument in the newsroom. Here's the thing. Zooey Deschanel was the best thing to happen to the World Series. And I know that we took the angle that she showed up, she sang the national anthem, and then they always make fun of the celebrities because they leave the game in the middle of it. And
right.
Joe Buck, at a point, even went to the Glee and Zoe's seats and looked at him and said, hey, they're still here. It's the sixth inning. This is great. I can't believe they didn't leave. And they went back in the seventh. They were gone. Right? But here's my problem with it. I mean, this is the most boring World Series ever. I played baseball, and I don't even know where the Cardinals are from. Like, honestly, like, well, Zoe Deschanel and how hot she is the best thing that happened in the World Series.
Yeah.
So I don't know why. I mean, I was trying to get our staff to say, listen, let's not go so hard on the fact that she left. At least she showed up. She looked hot. She sat in the seats for a while. Gave everybody at home something to look at.
Yeah.
She did a good job with the song, too.
I thought so, too.
She did.
Oh, she killed it singing the national anthem. I mean, people forget the freaking words sometimes. And she killed it, and she's hot. Let's leave it alone.
Yeah, I mean, don't make her stay.
But, you know, it's like, I mean, Albert Pujols isn't really doing it for me right now. And Zoe Deschanel is.
I'm not a baseball fan anyway, so I wasn't watching. But the fact that she was still there in the fourth or sixth inning or wherever they went back, that was too long.
She should have been... She did what she had to.
Considering the World Series is preempting her own TV show. It's knocked her out of the schedule until November, so she should be pissed off the World Series anyway.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I went home last night, and I was like, okay, I'm going to get my Sunday night pizza and watch Family Guy and The Simpsons. And it was like, oh, the Cardinals are on again.
Yeah.
You know, like, instead of everybody planning to watch it, it's like, just take it into my family time.
Yeah.
Or Family Guy time. Damn it.
I always hate the cross-promotion anyway, where they feel obligated to promote their sitcoms or whatever in some big sporting event, whether it's the World Series or the Super Bowl or whatever. So.
There are always great seats that are taken
Buck,
by... Yeah.
Joe Buck was like, oh, we're so glad to have these Glee stars in the Fox family. And I thought, when was the last time Joe Buck watched Glee?
Never.
Never. He even said, he's like, that's Matthew Morrison and...
And that
Asian guy.
And that Asian dude. Yeah.
Whatever his name is. When's the last time any of the Glee cast watched a baseball game, too, by the way?
Yeah, exactly. That was so funny because you just shot to them. They're all turned around, like, talking to people behind them.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Hilarious.
All right, we have Mike Walters from TMZ. Lindsay Lohan.
Okay, Lindsay Lohan is cleaning out house. She is parting ways with her business manager. Great idea. I mean, let's talk about this.
There's no business left to manage, is there, Mike?
Well, Lindsay Lohan needs to clean house, period. I mean, she needs to get rid of her dog walker. She needs to get rid of the person who cleans her house. Everything about Lindsay Lohan needs to go. She needs to clean out the closet. Like, everything about her needs to stop, and they need to get new everything because, obviously, none of it's working, okay? Nothing is working in Lindsay's life. And you're right. The problem is when you're in debt, there's nothing to manage.
So, yeah.
What's that person going to do? I don't think Lindsay has worked in a long time. And so, yeah.
Hey, didn't watch the trial, man. Her job is overseas.
Oh, yeah. The best thing is that when her lawyer said that in court, that, you know, she's been working. Well, yeah, she did go to a fashion show in Europe. But then on the way to Europe, she stopped in New York and partied with her mom at a nightclub. And then in Europe, she did one show and then did 4 days of partying with the designers. So, you know, look, I think it's a good first step in Lindsay's life. Let's get rid of everybody. Let's start over. I mean, she needs to get back into the Hollywood lifestyle of being an actress. Now, I will say this on the record, on the radio, 100%. Ready? Lindsay Lohan, if she turns it around right now, will win an Oscar in the next 8 to 10.
Are you insane?
Lindsay Lohan will end up doing some biopic on Janis Joplin or something, and she'll get an Oscar. But she has to be sober, and she has to clean house and get rid of these people that are managing her.
Now, I agree with all of that except for the Oscar part.
Yeah. I don't know if she's that good an actress.
She was a fine actress. I didn't hate her.
She wasn't that great.
No,
she was okay.
I think she can turn it around. I really
She might be able to turn it around. We agree with you on that as well.
I'm just saying, Oscar, roll the clip.
You're if she ends up in a sitcom, she'll be happy, let alone an Oscar.
All right, Mike, thank you for taking the time. We appreciate it. TMZ.com, the website of record. Thanks for coming on today. We appreciate it.
Okay, guys.
Let's have Snooki on again. Who's with me?
What happened?
Let's have Snooki on again.
No, I think I'll pass.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 8:56. We have Andrew Siciliano coming in talking NFL.
Poor bastard. I caught a lot of Andrew's show this weekend. There were some rough games. Some just really deadly, dull, bad football happening.
But not his Browns. I have to admit, he was
an honest man. He kept calling it maybe the ugliest game of the year between Seattle and Cleveland.
It was 6-3. That was the final score. Not a baseball score, it was a football score.
Then you had Denver versus Miami. That was a rough one. There was a lot of bad football yesterday.
Yeah.
The Raiders imploded. Just a quick update, the Saints just scored again.
Is that right?
Yeah, so now it's up to 99, I think, they've scored points so far.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Weird weekend in football. Weird weekend in show business, too. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend.
everyone expected Paranormal Activity 3 to be number one at the box office. No one expected to pull $54 million in its debut weekend. It's an enormous amount of money for a relatively low-budget horror film. Congratulations to them. They were number one by a long shot because Real Steel, which was number two, only made $11.3 million. The number two slot, Footloose, was third. The Three Musketeers, in its debut, just made $8.8 million, but that was good enough to make it number four. The Ides of March came in at number five. Dolphin Tale, Moneyball, Johnny English Reborn, The Thing, and 50-50, rounding out the top ten at the box office this weekend. You guys are familiar with the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor?
I've heard of it.
Yes.
It is given away at the Kennedy Center there in Washington, D.C. It is considered probably the premier award you can get for comedy, an art form which is not given a lot of respect in award circles. But every year they get together and they give out this this award. And it is very prestigious, but I'm beginning to think they're running out of people to give it to.
Really?
Not for nothing. You know, Will Ferrell received it last night. And Will's a friend, and I think he's enormously talented and very funny. But this usually is given to people who have long, long, long-standing careers of comic achievement.
Right.
Let me read some of the names of previous winners of this prize. Richard Pryor.
Sure.
Jonathan Winters. Carl Reiner, Bob Newhart, Lily Tomlin, Lorne Michaels, who created Saturday Night Live, Steve Martin, Neil Simon, Billy Crystal, George Carlin, Bill Cosby. These are the kinds of people who get the awards.
So you're saying, in your words then, he doesn't deserve it.
I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. I'm just saying maybe not yet. Let's give the guy another, you know, 10, 15 years of a career to amass a larger body of work before we give him the Mark Twain Prize. For example, last year Tina Fey got it. Funny woman,
yes,
talented,
yes.
But she's really just done a couple things. She's done Saturday Night Live, which was good, and then 30 Rock, which was good.
Uh-huh.
But George Carlin, you know, guy was at it for like 40 years. I mean, he really established himself as a major.
So you're saying you don't find Will Ferrell funny?
I love Will. I think he's very funny.
You don't like
I'm
him at
just
all.
Saying it may be a little early to give him an award like that. But regardless, they did it. It'll be on television next Monday on PBS. You can check it out. He was surrounded by a great cast and crew of people who honored him. Conan O'Brien, John C. Reilly, Molly Shannon, Andy Samberg, Jack Black, Matthew Broderick, Ed Asner. They were all there to pay homage to Will. And so, congratulations. I'm happy he got it. I'm just saying.
It's part of his acceptance speech.
Room's starting to spin real fast because of gayness.
I don't think that was that was the speech at all. Although, the point maybe more so is that we're running out of legendary comic people to give that award to, so maybe we have to move on to the next generation.
I think he deserved it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Because as I look at that list, I can't think of anyone that they missed, you know?
Yeah.
Mel Brooks, maybe.
How many people do you have 40-year careers?
Yeah. Hmm. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kevin Kline, 64 years old today. Actor B.D. Wong.
Hey!
He's 51 years old. Monica celebrates her 31st birthday. Casey Wilson from Happy Endings and Saturday Night Live. She is 31 as well. Drake celebrates his 25th birthday. And Sinead Grimes. 90210 was 22 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8 minutes after 9 o'clock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We have Andrew Siciliano in the studio with us, as we do on Mondays. Hey, Andrew.
I love you guys.
Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Tell me about the Browns Seahawks yesterday.
Nah.
Now, you're a big Browns,
awful.
Big Browns fan.
Yeah. Let's just put it this way.
You inherited it from your family, unfortunately.
I did, which is child abuse in most states.
Yes.
Three of the last four NFL games that had a combined 9 points or fewer have been played by the Browns. So
that
tells you everything. Three of the last four NFL games with 9 points or fewer combined have been played by God's team. And they are God's team because this is the second coming.
I see.
Right, they went away and they came back. This is the second coming. By God's team, the Cleveland Browns.
The Browns did win the barn burner.
They did, 6-3.
And I saw that score and I thought, well, that must be partial way through the game. No, it's
no,
a final.
No, can I just say this?
Was it three field goals?
It was three field goals and two were blocked. Two were blocked. And this is why the NFL is the world's greatest reality show. I mean, far better than three talentless chicks from the Valley who own some store that their dad bought them. Right? And have never said one compelling thing in their entire life.
Yeah.
Right? You had yesterday, going into the games, honestly, bad matchups.
Okay.
I'll be very honest. Bad matchups.
Like the Saints and the Colts.
All of the teams on a bye were good. I think five of the six teams on a bye were 4-2 or better.
Wow.
There wasn't a game yesterday between two teams with a winning record. Not one.
Wow.
Yet all the drama that came out of yesterday is why, I sound like just a pitch man here, but why it is the world's greatest reality show. Take that bad game, for example. The Browns and Seahawks played an awful, awful football game. At one point, the first quarter, penalties in five straight plays. Now, the Browns won 6-3.
Right.
They had two field goals blocked by the same guy, the guy named Red Bryant, for the Seahawks.
Okay.
Now, the end of the game, there's a chance the Seahawks might get it back with about 30 seconds left. The Browns fail on third down. Seattle's out of timeouts. Cleveland has to punt.
Mm-hmm.
However, that same man who blocked the two field goals is goaded into headbutting a Cleveland player. That's 15 yards. He gets ejected from the game.
Sweet.
And then the Browns take a knee. So he had them in the game by blocking two field goals, and then he gets ejected at the end of the game to make certain that they don't get a shot at winning it at the end. And that's only one example.
I listened to you on the Red Zone DirecTV, and you always, you could tell that you're a Browns fan.
It's funny. Someone tweeted me yesterday and said, why don't you just admit you gamble on them? But no, I've never bet on a football game in my entire life, and that's a fact.
All right, let's talk about the other end of the spectrum, and that's Saints-Colts. Now, the Colts are 0-6.
They're not good right now.
But I find it hard to believe that just because your quarterback, and I know he's an important quarterback, just because he's gone, the rest of the team is that bad?
Year in, year out, the most valuable player in football. Example, when Tom Brady blew his knee out, week one, when he got hurt, how many ever years ago, Matt Cassel, former Trojan, steps in. They went 11-5. Now, they didn't make the playoffs, if I recall correctly. But they have a superior coach in Bill Belichick.
Yes.
They have superior all-around talent. And they're in a tougher division.
Yes.
But without Peyton Manning, the Colts can't do anything. Now, they had been competitive to that point. All right, they had been, for the most part, competitive before last night. I don't know what last night was, except an NFL record for points.
Seven.
It was an NFL record for points. It tied the record. It was disgusting. And people, heads will roll. Heads will roll. And they still have a bunch of primetime games left because the schedule's made. But they have a primetime game with I know they have at least one more with New England.
It's hard for me to believe that any quarterback is that good, that the team can suck, and he can have them playoff bound most years.
Can I offer you this? What if he were named MVP without ever taking a snap?
Because of how bad the Colts did without him?
Yes. Now it won't happen. That's idiotic. But think about it. Why not?
It kind of proves how good he is.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Wow. That's crazy. 62-7.
Not good. And it was 62 with 10 minutes left.
Wow.
So, hypothetically, it could have been 70.
Yeah, it could have been 70. They tried, of course, yeah.
Well, they kept running the football. I mean, they cranked out yardage in the fourth quarter, but it could have been worse.
The Raiders didn't do well. They got beat 20.
The Raiders are a soap opera in and of themselves.
Yeah.
Now, they went out and got their quarterback. They traded for Carson Palmer. They paid a price that no other team in the NFL would have paid. They overpaid in most people's estimation. But if Carson Palmer takes them deep into the playoffs, then you can say, no, we didn't overpay.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, what's a winning quarterback worth when you don't have one? It's worth anything you're willing to pay. I can say that they paid more than any other team would be willing to pay. So in that sense, they overpaid.
And he didn't play, right? Or did he?
He wasn't going to play.
Oh, I didn't see the game.
Kyle Bowler started.
Uh-huh.
He's not good at football.
Right.
Kyle Bowler threw three interceptions in the first half,
ouch,
and the Raiders were down big. So at the half, they said, hey, Carson, red courtesy phone, sideline, that's for you. Carson comes in. He wasn't ready in his defense. He throws three interceptions.
Oh, man.
So they threw six interceptions. And honestly, Hugh Jackson, who kind of sounded foolish during his press conference Tuesday announcing the trade, and then was coy with the media all week about who he's going to start, and then had some crazy coaching decisions on fourth down and then running Michael Bush out of a wildcat, just some things that didn't make any sense, then puts on the quarterback who was not ready.
Yeah.
And they get picked off six times. It was ugly. I had Raider fans tweeting me this morning saying, are you going to rip the Raiders? I'm not going to rip them, but Hugh Jackson got out-coached and outplayed and outsmarted, and that team looked pathetic yesterday. Pathetic.
And they're not a pathetic team.
No,
but
they have
sure
talent.
Did.
They have talent. But here's the biggest issue with the Raiders, because we at NFL Network yesterday, or all last week, were saying, well, are the Raiders now a Super Bowl contender? It's a little bit of hyperbole here, but you talk about these things, they get Carson Palmer.
Right.
And I made the point that they can't be a Super Bowl contender because they're still the most penalized team in the league, year in, year out. And so I had stats.
I think that's what the fans love about them.
Right. They were penalized 14 times yesterday. 14. Wow. So, you know, I had them crunch the numbers. The last 10 Super Bowl winners, only one of those 10, the 03 Patriots, has been in the bottom third of the league when it comes to penalties. That was the 03 Patriots, as I said, that was 10th worst. Not worst.
Not the worst, right.
10th worst.
They have to solve all those problems.
Right, the Raiders are worst.
Yeah.
You cannot do that.
Are they
going to
get a new coach?
Stupid. Not now. I mean, he had them at that point looking good.
Yeah.
So, you know, the season's not over. They have enough talent to win games. And in that division, they can. But they were a train wreck yesterday.
Sounds like all the games were bad.
No. They weren't bad. You had the Tebow thing.
Tim Tebow,
there
was
just fantastic drama yesterday.
Yeah.
In a setup in which it looked as if there was no drama. But
they were behind 15-0 with a couple of minutes left or something?
It was the first time since the merger in 1970 that a team had been down 15 that late and rallied and won. And for the first 3.5 quarters, he wasn't just bad. He was comically bad. It was circus ugly. That's how bad he was for 3+. After 3 quarters, he had 24 yards passing.
Wow, I could
Those
do that.
Two teams combined to go 0-17 on third down to start the game.
Wow.
You know how hard that is?
Yeah, that's pretty difficult.
Tim Tebow didn't just miss wide open receivers. He threw the ball into the bench. So guys running down the sideline, hey, he's open, I'll throw him the ball. It lands in the bench. I'm not making that up. I mean, not on the sideline. I mean, in the bench.
Yeah.
He was circus bad.
Until the comeback.
For 3.5 minutes. Yes, and then he led them to the promised land.
How about that?
How about that, Tim Tebow?
All right, Andrew Siciliano is here. We need to take a break. We will come right back on the Kevin and Bean. We have Ralph Showbiz Beat coming up right now. We have Andrew Siciliano in the studio. He is the host of DirecTV's Red Zone, which is it's a must-have. If you can afford it, if you can mortgage your house, whatever, you can sell
oh,
the car.
It isn't that expensive.
Right, but I'm saying if you can't afford it, it's worth those things.
Thank you.
You can live on the street and watch the Red Zone.
Thank you.
Because it's the best. You follow baseball at all?
I do, but admittedly, not as much as I should be once football season starts and all my favorite teams are out of it. But this World Series, I hope people are watching because it has been amazing. Maybe not. Maybe amazing is too strong. It's 2-2, and you've had great storylines every single night. You had Pujols hitting 3 home runs Saturday. You had a 2-hit shutout last night. You had 16 runs.
That's crazy.
In Game 3. I think it's been great.
That's crazy,
just
though, because they win 16-7. Something like that?
16-7.
And then they come back the next night, and it's a completely different game.
Two-hit shutout.
Is that by a pitcher? Is that all pitching?
It's all pitching.
Wow.
All pitching. And then Mike Napoli, the former Angel, Mike Napoli hits a 3-run home run last night on a pitch that no human should have hit. It was a 95-mile-an-hour fastball at his eyes, and he got on top of it. Well, I'm exaggerating. Maybe at his shoulders. He got on top of it.
Wow.
And he didn't just hit a home run. He clubbed it. I mean, one of those ones where you hear it from a mile away. It sounds like a thunderclap, and you just stand there because you know it's a rocket.
And the runner doesn't jog. He just goes, I'm just going to watch this for a second.
You can walk. And look, guys can hit pitches up here.
Yeah.
I'm now pointing to my shoulders on the radio.
Yeah, it's your clavicle, basically.
But 95 miles an hour, the speed at which that pitch came in to hit it the way he hit it is insane.
It's still going. So it's 2-2.
2-2, and Game 5 is tonight.
All right.
And you know it's also tonight, by the way? The NFL Network, NFL Total Access, my post-game show.
Are you kidding?
Kara Henderson and Warren Sapp and Charles Davis, and 4 o'clock Eastern as well. I say my post-game show.
It's just
part of it. It's not mine in any way whatsoever.
It's yours.
That sounded amazingly stupid. I'm happy to be there.
All right, yeah.
No. I'm happy to be there. Not mine.
I record it every day. How much does it change?
How much does...
Because I have like 10 of them. I don't know that I need to have
How much
10
does
of them.
NFL Total Access change?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the news every day.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
It's whatever's new that day. I'm sure we'll talk about Tim Tebow today for like an hour and a half.
You know how to sell it.
Yeah. No. Seriously. Look, Tebow is the story today.
Yeah,
period.
I agree.
He is the story. He was circus bad for 56 minutes of football. Look, Sam Farmer in the Times. What's Sam
you know
right?
What? For those of you that don't know who Tim Tebow, who maybe you don't follow sports, you don't follow football, set it up with
Let's
how he's the
Tim
second
Tebow.
Coming of God.
Okay, well, some people think that he is, and that's a huge part of his fan base right there. He is a deeply religious guy. He was the quarterback at the University of Florida. He is an amazing winner. He does it ugly, though. He runs more than he throws, and when he throws, it looks like he's throwing a folding chair in a bowling alley fight. I mean, it is one of the ugliest throwing motions ever. He can't deliver the football on an NFL level as a passer.
Don't they have passing quarterback coaches that can show him how to
do it? Work. He has a magnetic personality. Huh. He is Mr. Goody Two-Shoes, but that's not me ripping him. That's just who he is.
Right.
He does missionary work. He travels the globe. He is spotless. Spotless.
Which is very different from most NFL players.
Right. But most reasonable talent evaluators and former players will look at him on film and say, he can't throw the football. He just can't. But he's a winner. So how does that translate to the next level? So you have this entire block of fans and analysts who can't stand the hype that the other block throws on him.
Right.
And they love him because he was a college winner, because he's spotless, many because of his religious beliefs. And these two conflicting groups are so animated about it on either side. And so yesterday, he's named the starter. They go to Miami. He's a Florida native.
Right.
Played his college ball there. The Dolphins are winless. Right. Their coach is about to be fired. But what does Miami do? A month ago, they announce that day, before he's even announced as the starter, they're going to honor the Florida national championship team he played for.
Ah.
Well, this is Hurricane territory, but they're honoring the Gator quarterback. 20,000 Tim Tebow fans showed up yesterday. University of Florida fans.
Wow.
Packed this stadium. Well, the stadium wasn't packed, but there were more Tebow fans there than Dolphin fans. And he plays some of the worst football anyone has ever seen. To back up all his critics for 56 minutes, and then for 4 minutes through help of his defense, too.
So it's 15-0.
15-0.
With how many minutes remaining?
I think it was six.
Oh, six. Okay.
Yeah, five, whatever. He pulls an inexplicable victory out of God knows where.
His ass.
You could say that.
Let's say it.
And they win the game. And so Adam Schefter on ESPN summed it up this way. He retweeted something someone sent him. That game yesterday proved all the critics right, gave them all their ammunition, and it proved all the fans right, and it gave them all their ammunition. Doesn't matter how he looks, he just won.
So he
that's all that matters.
Both sides right?
He proved both sides right in that game, and that is the enigma that is Tim Tebow.
Who can't throw the ball.
Who can't throw the football.
That's bizarre.
I mean,
that's really bizarre.
He has this long motion. Like, it starts down here at his hip, and it's ugly. It's ugly. But he wins. And half the people that, quote unquote, hate him, and I hesitate to use that word, but with him, really, some people do.
Yeah.
It's because he's hyped so much by the other side.
I can see that.
It's like Red Sox and Yankees.
Yeah.
A lot of people hate the Red Sox and Yankees because they're on TV so much and they get so much hype, and at times their fans can be obnoxious. Or Duke basketball.
Look, there's a lot of people who you don't care about, but if it gets jammed down your throat,
exactly.
All of a sudden you
turn against
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he is this fascinating enigma. To me, at least.
That's bizarre.
And, well, you know, through all that, the Packers are 6-0. Or 7-0, I beg your pardon. They're still undefeated. They got a good test from Minnesota yesterday. And you know what? If Tebow's Broncos had played at Green Bay rather than at Miami, they might have lost by 35 points. But they didn't.
But
they played the worst
team
in football.
Yeah. All right.
And their whole coaching drama. I mean, you had their coach on the sideline at one point. It's reported now today by Jeff Darlington on NFL.com that he's pleading with the referee for a review. They took a timeout from him. And he points to the owner's box and says, if you don't bleeping help me here, I'm getting fired.
To the ref?
To the ref.
Oh,
I mean, so that's how so many storylines you had in that game yesterday.
And the ref's like, that's my fault how?
Right, exactly.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing.
All right, DirecTV, Red Zone, and NFL Total Access.
NFL Network. Yes, sir.
NFL Network, every afternoon at 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock specific.
Specific.
Yes,
Thanks
sir.
For coming in, Andrew. We always appreciate it.
Love you guys.
Thank you. Time for the showbiz beat.
Well, it is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, starting off with number one, Paramoral. That's a porn movie. Paramoral Activity. Paranormal Activity 3, in its debut, made $54 million, number one, by a long shot. The closest film behind that was Real Steel, made $11.3 million.
They can get number two. So that's a significant number one at the box office.
That was a scary movie, too.
$54 million. I did not get a chance to see it.
I thought it was better than one and two.
It's just a prequel, right?
Yeah.
It sets up how the original girl gets followed by the demon.
And that little girl is a freaky little girl.
Oh, she's nothing scarier than kids in horror movies.
She's,
you know,
talking to the ghost the whole time. And yeah. Oh, my God.
It's Shocktober, man.
It is.
That's how scary it is.
It is.
Footloose was third at the box office. Three Musketeers in its debut only made $8.8 million. Not a strong opening, but good enough to make it number four. The Ides of March was fifth. Dolphin Tale.
I'm going to make that dolphin a tail. I'm Morgan Freeman. I bought it with Visa.
Moneyball was seventh. Johnny English Reborn was eighth. The Thing and 50-50 rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Fascinating story in the Village Voice out of New York City this week about Matt Stone and Trey Parker, creators of South Park. You may remember the famous 2005 Scientology targeting episode Trapped in the Closet with Tom Cruise.
Sure.
And Stan takes the personality test and ends up getting involved with the Scientologists. Well, the Scientologists were not happy about that episode. Cruise, of course, famously very upset about it. In fact, allegedly threatened to pull out of advertising for Mission Impossible 3 at the time unless Viacom, which owns both Comedy Central and Paramount, pulled the episode and refused to rerun it, and they did in order to agree. Now, his people deny this story, but
sure,
it's kind of a famous, well-known tale. The thing about the Matt and Trey is Marty Rathbun, who is a former Scientology executive who's now turned critic of the religion, says they targeted them for surveillance after the episode aired, looking for vulnerabilities in their personal lives that they could exploit.
This is not the first time that rumor has been out.
Says the Scientologists went through their phone records, bank records, personal letters, talked to informants, and various other means, including going through their trash, trying to find some sort of inside information that could be used against the two men. They read stuff into the kind of alcohol you're drinking and how much, Rathbun told the Village Voice. They look at your prescription bottles to figure out your diet. They can find a lot about you through your trash.
Wow.
So that's scary stuff.
Dad! Tom Cruise won't come out of the closet.
Mr. Cruise, come out of the closet.
I'm never coming out.
Mr. Cruise, you can't just stay in the closet, all right? You need to come out.
Just leave me alone.
Well, we can't leave you alone because you won't come out of the closet.
So true. The part of that show where they talk about what Scientology is.
Yeah.
Sounds like they wrote a comedy monologue, but that's all really what the belief is of that religion.
This clip that you're about to hear is from South Park, but they're flashing on the screen. This is really what they believe.
It all began 75 million years ago. There was a galactic federation of planets, which was ruled over by the evil Lord Zenu. He rounded up countless aliens from all different planets and then had those aliens frozen. Cruisers then took the frozen alien bodies to our planet, Earth. At the dawn of man, the souls finally found bodies which they could grab onto. They attached themselves to all mankind, which still to this day causes all our fears, our confusions, and our problems.
That is for real. That's what they actually believe.
Well, that's what Matt and Trey said on the screen. It said, this is what they actually believe. It was flashing.
Ugh, scary stuff.
Not us. We don't think that at all. We love them.
No. We don't want them looking through our trash, and I drink Jack Daniels. What does that say about me?
We're big fans.
Scientologists. James Bond. The new James Bond movie that is reportedly entitled Skyfall is going to have a whole new look, not just because they're cutting the budget back, which means less fight scenes and less explosions.
Isn't that what those are all about?
That's everything.
They had to cut back on the cast as well because of financial restrictions. But reportedly, James Bond is going to be sporting a beard. Daniel Craig is growing a beard for the role.
That's the big news?
Stop effing with my James Bond. Just gets worse and worse. I want gadgets. I want hot chicks. I want cool guys.
Suave and debonair.
I don't want a sloppy Bond in a beard.
Yeah.
Looks like Zach Galifianakis after a bender. It's not what I need. And lastly, Pee Wee Herman says he'd like to be on the next edition of Dancing with the Stars.
Tequila!
They should totally do that.
He is pals with David Arquette, and Paul Rubens said he has been supporting his friend in the audience, watching the show, And he thinks it would be a blast to be on the show. And if they have any sense at all, they will put him.
No kidding. Did
I win the mirror ball?
Oh, it's Mary.
Today's celebrity birthday is Kevin Klein is 64 years old today. BD Wong turns 51. Monica is 31 years old today as well. Casey Wilson of Happy Endings and Saturday Night Live is 31. Drake, the rapper, is 25. And Sinead Grimes celebrates her 22nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman, and that is the show.